Oh, this is nice. Pete McMurray in for Bruce, 890 WLS. Judy, good morning.
Morning. Why are the lights so bright?
I like it like you're on the surface of the sun, so we can wake up in the morning. That's our job. We wake up Chicago.
Right. Yeah. Bright-eyed and bushy-tailed.
She's like, what is going on? Why is Pete so lively?
Why can I see you so well? I would like you to dim the lights over your face, please.
Can I just say that I'm Father of the Year? I know we've all been through this, and you have older kids. My kid's right in the heart of it right now. It's 16. He plays lacrosse. I stood outside for 3 hours last night.
Why?
So you dropped
him
in the snow in downtown. It was snowing sideways. I'm at St. Ignatius, which looks like Hogwarts, you know, from Harry Potter.
Okay, well, there's that.
And, I'm standing there thinking to myself, oh, my God, I'm dressed for a bear game, but I wore sneakers. And I'm thinking to myself, what? I don't know what I was thinking when I left home. Pulled a rookie move.
But because you don't want to put the boots back on. That's the problem. It's April.
I know, but I had the Under Armour. I had the ski coat.
So
I had
your
the hat.
Feet cold?
My feet were freezing. I'm like, oh my God, it's such a rookie move. You remember those days when you're standing outside and.
So I say my favorite sport was always soccer. An hour, boom, done. The baseball games were the worst.
Oh my gosh, yeah. Baseball.
I didn't stand outside in the winter. No, I wasn't that stupid.
I love baseball and hate it at the same time. You're right.
It's so long.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a long game.
Yeah. I mean, we would camp out, really. We would go and, yeah. But I didn't, I don't believe I let my kids play any winter sports just for that reason. Only inside.
Were you one of those moms that brought the wine to the game?
Who's asking?
I kind of know you.
Sometimes you need wine to get through 3 hours.
There are certain parents that you look at during the spring and you're like, I wonder what's in that Yeti.
I know. Well, fortunately for me, my youngest was the athlete. So, yeah, I had no little ones to watch. I mean, they were all older than him, so not that much, but.
Right.
Enough so that I didn't have to really keep that good of an eye on them at the park.
Man, this weather is just crazy.
I know. I hate it. I absolutely hate it.
Well, is it different this year, or are we just getting older and we're just done with it?
Yeah, no, every year we say that, I guess, because then people remind us, older people are like, you know, it was always like this, like, oh, it's, you know, raining so much more, it's snowing. No, it always did. I'm like, no, not like this year.
Every conversation last night, I can't wait till my kids graduate, I'm moving to Florida. Are you really going to move to Florida? Because you're going to forget about this cold weather in 2 months when it's beautiful.
Well, that's what happens, but then it comes back.
Yeah.
You know what I do notice? I'm stressed out about the weather more. I hate it.
What do you mean you're stressed out?
Every time it rains, I get stressed. Well, I have a lot of flooding issues around my house now, like outside. I can't, not my basement anymore, thank God.
Okay.
But I can't take it anymore. Every time it rains, I get stressed and I hate it. And believe me, I'm one of those people saying, I'm just going to move to Florida.
Wow, we had a basement like that, and every time it rained, I woke up in the morning and I walked downstairs. I'm like, oh, we're good today. This is good.
Who wants to live like that?
Nobody. And it rained for 24 hours straight.
I know. I have a lake in front of my house now. So my basement's dry. Woo! Because I did all the stuff I was supposed to do. Now I'm like, what's this? I'm just in a low spot. I can't do it anymore. I just can't do it anymore.
And you don't want to move, so you're going to stay.
I do want to move.
Okay.
No, because the weather is really getting to me. I'm just saying, it's all around. The cold, I hate it.
Yeah.
I know I'm an old lady now, but I don't care.
Wow.
If I were you last night, I would have made 10, maybe 10 minutes, I would have made it.
Yeah.
And I got to go home.
But
I'm
if
cold.
You're a kid, and you know your kid doesn't, you don't think your kid cares, but he wants to see you on the sidelines.
I know.
And I'm that guy that stands up during games. I hate sitting. So if he was playing.
Are you a yeller?
Sometimes I'm a yeller. I'm not
screaming.
You don't
yell at other kids, right?
Go blue! No, I'm not yelling at other kids, no. Not at all.
Dude, that's unacceptable.
No. Or I'll say, come on, Stripes! Got to keep the refs honest. You got to yell at them every once in a while. Coming up on today's show at 6:15, we're going to talk to one of the greatest announcers in sports right now. Kevin Harlan did the Sweet 16 game in Elite 8 in Chicago last weekend. He's going to join us. Kevin Harlan. His father worked for the Green Bay Packers. He worked in Chicago originally. I want to say he did the Bears preseason games, and he just loves this city. He's so good. Sweet 16. Let me guess. St. Peter's is out, so you're not following the tournament.
No, that's correct. What tournament?
Did you fill out a bracket?
It lasted one day, the first weekend. I mean, it was ridiculous. There were so many upsets.
I love it. I love it.
Yeah. So St. Peter's, that's what kept me going. I'm like, you know what? I love this team now. I want them to beat everyone.
Everybody loves the Cinderella.
Yeah, of course. Yeah. Isn't that what it's about? Why else would we watch? They're all good. All the teams are good. That's why they're there.
But here we are. We have the Final Four, Villanova, Kansas, Duke, and North Carolina. These are the big boys. You want the big boys in the Final Four or a big Cinderella. But it's nice to see Duke playing North Carolina. Coach K is last year. This is the greatest storyline in sports.
Is this the one everyone's talking about? Is this the Tar Heels and the...
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
What are the...
The Blue Devils.
The Blue Devils, right? Yes. They were the Devils.
This is a big ticket.
Okay, here's the thing. Duke, at least, they're always in it.
Right.
It's always the same teams.
But this is his last year. Coach K, who's, I want to say, when did he start? Like 80 or 81.
And how many times has he been here? To this exact spot? Yeah.
I mean, but he's a winner. Why do people hate winners?
It's time for some new blood. I mean different teams.
But, okay, this is how I kind of relate it to people in Chicago. During the 90s, were you sick of the Bulls winning?
Okay, that's different. There are only so many NBA teams, though, right? I mean, I don't know. College is just...
If it's not your team, you hate when that team wins. Like, everybody hates the Yankees. What do they have? 42 world championships? They hate the Yankees because they always win. Yeah. Well, they spend so much money. Well, don't you want your team to spend money to win? Yeah. So yeah, Duke is a winner. Coach K.
I guess the bottom line, I don't care that much. I just don't.
I love it. I can't wait for tomorrow.
I know, you and everyone. You and Eric Church.
Eric Church, the singer?
Yeah, who's going to the game instead of having a concert.
You're kidding.
No,
he canceled the concert because of that?
Canceled it. Yep.
Canceled.
Where was he playing?
Won't be there, people. Texas, I think.
Is he a North Carolina fan?
Yes,
or is he?
Tar Heels. But I pointed out, he did not attend college there.
Right.
He does not have a brother who plays there or a relative. Nope. He just loves them. He's always loved them.
Well, that's okay. What's wrong with that?
Nothing, but you don't cancel a concert over it.
Well, you can reschedule. Let's move it to Sunday night, guys. I want to go see this game.
We're talking thousands of people. That's exactly what he's doing.
I am absolutely okay with that.
Well, really, but several of our very smart listeners pointed out that some people make, this is like their dream of their lifetime. They're going to, you know, a young girl who finally gets to go to her first concert and she makes all these plans and then he just goes, hey, by the way, I'm going to watch. So someone called in and the best line was, DVR it, dude.
No, you want to be there. You're Eric Church.
You have a job. Yeah.
I understand that. You can reschedule it. What's the big deal? That girl can enjoy Eric Church a week later or a month later.
Some people have made all these plans. They've spent weeks and months or, you know, maybe several months planning to go see him. And no.
We always have a rule with the McMurray brothers. I have seven brothers. If it's history in the making for a sporting event, you can't miss it.
What's the history?
Like the Bears in the NFC Championship.
No, but I mean, in this case, first time those two teams have hooked up.
This is Duke, North Carolina in the Final Four, the biggest rivalry in college sports. And you have one of the winningest coaches in the history of college basketball retiring after this season. This is a huge storyline.
Okay.
Was that a whistle?
Okay. It was.
All right. I'm excited.
You're offsides.
I love it. I can't wait for the Final Four. It starts tomorrow, I think, at around 5 o'clock. First game at 5, second game around 7:20.
Is your team still in it?
I don't have an actual team.
Oh, okay.
I have brackets and I have numbers, so I won't know my numbers until tomorrow morning.
Mm, okay.
Yeah.
So you don't even know who you're...
Well, I like to root for the numbers because I love money.
Okay, who's your number?
I don't know. I'll find out tomorrow.
Oh, I see. And then you'll root for that
team.
You
know, the numbers bracket, you give 100 or 200 or 400 bucks.
Well, whatever your number is, whatever your money number is, that's the team you're going to...
Well, you know what?
So you just enjoy the game.
I have to provide for the family. So at halftime, after every quarter, you check your numbers, you can win money. Halftime, you win money, and you win the big money at the end of the game. And now it's the Final Four, so the money gets even bigger.
So it's not really the team as much as it is what they do?
It's both.
Okay.
Yeah. You want to root for a great game, but you want to see your numbers come up after each quarter.
Mm, okay.
We can win the cash.
All righty.
Yes.
Is this what you rely on for your annual income, for your family income every year?
I know I sound like a compulsive
sketchy
gambler. I don't have the app on my phone. I just log on my computer.
The greatest story in history of college basketball, but you know what it comes down to is the numbers.
Well, you want a good game, too.
Yeah, sure you do.
So you have the Final Four on Saturday, and then Monday they play the national championship.
Yeah.
Okay, so Kevin Harlan will join us at 6:15. The best in the business. You have Kevin Harlan, and then you have Jim Nance, who's doing the games this weekend. Mm-hmm. Jim Nance is the best of the best. Yeah. Also, we'll talk to Pat Tomasulo in the 6 o'clock hour at 6:45, who has a new comedy special on YouTube. Pat and I are neighbors. A lot of people don't know that. Yeah.
Interesting.
We lived two blocks from each other. Then I moved a mile away, and then Pat recently moved.
Next to you?
Near us, yes.
What does he keep? Well, I would be a little bit concerned about that.
How many times have I seen Pat Tomasulo in the neighborhood? The new neighborhood.
I don't know.
One time.
That's so
funny. Yeah, I don't think he leaves his house, guys. I don't think he leaves
his
house.
Maybe he leaves it at night only. You know,
I don't know. It's a little strange. He's kind of he keeps to himself.
Mm.
Yeah. Well, you can talk about that.
Okay.
He'll talk freely about that. I think he's afraid of me, too. It's like, Pat, I heard he was moving.
He crosses the street.
I don't know if we saw each other or we talked on the phone. It's like, hey, man, how you doing? What's your new address? He's like, yeah, I'll text it to you. Never. But I know he lives somewhere in a two-block radius because I've seen him walking his dog. You like shoes, right?
Who doesn't like shoes? We all have to wear them.
Simone Boutte of Oak Park said she started receiving boxes and boxes of shoes last year delivered to her house that she never purchased.
Hmm. Nice shoes.
And they keep coming. The shoes keep coming. In the last year, she's received 20 pairs of shoes. She's called UPS. She's called the stores. They keep coming. She can't get it to stop. She doesn't know where they're coming from. She can't get it to stop.
The most important question, are they her size?
They are not her size.
Oh, well.
And they are not her style.
Oh,
but listen,
that would be a problem.
Listen to this. White go-go boots. She's like, it's not my style. That's your style.
What?
That's your look, isn't it?
Yes.
The go-go boots. Judy wears them.
I don't care if it's not your style. You keep those and you wear them.
Velvet stilettos.
Maybe.
Pink combat boots.
Yes.
Have arrived.
Absolutely.
I can't get it to stop. It's really funny because of the shoes themselves. They're just not my style, she said. Do you order things that show up at your house that you thought, oh my God, I don't remember ordering this?
No.
Really?
Not usually. No, I know what I order. Because what do you mean? It's Amazon. It comes that day.
I ordered a t-shirt. You know when you have those moments where you're going through Instagram and you're like, wow, this is a really cool t-shirt. I'm going to order this up. And they're always just garbage.
Yeah.
That arrived. I must have ordered it 2 months ago. So if you're scrolling through Instagram, I think they're called City Tees. I'm like, oh, this is great.
And now you're going to see if the next 5 months is those t-shirts popping up everywhere.
Oh, my gosh. I can't remember when I ordered it up, so it showed up this week. Do you get buyer's remorse when you order things online?
Yes, and then I just return them. I'm not one of those people who just goes, puts it in my closet and forgets about it. No, if I don't like it, it goes back.
I feel like we had this conversation last time. Remember, I ordered something not on Amazon, and it's like, oh, I got to go to the post office and put it
so
in a package.
You
do the Amazon thing all the time.
Okay, well, because of that, I can pretty much throw it out in the street, and someone will pick it up and return it.
75% of us experience buyer's remorse after purchasing online. Some common regrets. You feel like the item was less valuable than expected. This t-shirt that came this week.
Mm-hmm.
Thin as paper, too small, doesn't really fit right. No wonder it was only $16. I'll never use this thing. How many times have you ordered something, I'll never use this thing?
Never. I don't understand people who do that.
Or,
I mean, I order things I need.
You buy something and it's way too expensive. That's why we have buyer's remorse.
Yes.
Most people at their house right now have 15 items they don't like that just sit there. Okay, everybody think. Let's see what I bought this
week.
I'm like, Why did I need another can opener? because of the price.
Are you like a shopaholic? Who buy? You buy a can opener?
Well, they make everything so easy now. When you go online to buy something and things pop up, it's like, okay, I'll get that. And it's like fake money because they have your information. So especially with Amazon, two clicks and boom, you're there.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't usually do that. So, I mean, the most, here's the funny thing. You know what I have that I didn't return from Ace Hardware? I had to buy some like bolts. They were like,
bolts?
I don't know, $1.97, a bolt.
Yes.
For something that didn't fit. And then I was like, oh, it's $1.97. I don't want to go back to Ace.
Yeah,
so
but
I might keep that.
Think about how many of those things you have at your house that you haven't returned.
I'm telling you, not that many.
Wow, maybe it's me.
It is you.
I don't know. I think this is normal.
You are like you're the dream for these places.
No, you're normal. Okay. You're normal. Judy, did you throw your bolt in the bolt bin? I'm sure you have a bolt bin,
Yes, I did. Because you know what, Nick? I will need that bolt sometime.
You will one day.
At some point, I will need it, and I'll use it.
Parts and pieces. Wink, wink.
But I don't do that like for a $16 t-shirt. It goes back. It goes right back if it's not good enough.
Well, this one was purchased on Instagram, and guess what? Can't return it. I checked it. I'm like, this t-shirt
sucks. Well, you checked
it
afterward, but maybe you should have checked that before, right?
It's an expensive dust rag now.
I did not check. I just assumed.
What did it say that you had to have it so badly?
It was just a Chicago flag.
Oh, well, that's kind of cool.
Right. But it doesn't fit. I don't know how to explain it. How does a t-shirt not fit? It's a weird feeling.
Well,
and it's
usually,
too thin.
Yeah, a company that says no returns, be wary.
Nearly 6 in 10 of us confessed we shop when we're drunk.
Oh, yeah.
How many times have you done that? 83% of drunk shoppers usually buy something dumb or frivolous. Of course we do.
Those are the times where I will do that.
I have bought a crazy suit when I was drunk. 100%. I've done that.
A crazy suit.
Yeah. Like
green or
Opposuits.com. You know, I get those, you know, those
suits.
But
have you worn it?
Oh, yeah, all the time.
Okay, there you go. That was a good purchase.
Well, I was half in the bag. I don't know if that counts. People also admitted they tuck their unfortunate online buys somewhere they know they'll never see again. So they're buying something and they just kind of put it away.
It's everyone has an Instapot, so I'm going to get one, but I'm never going to use it. I'm going to put it in the cabinet and never look at it anymore.
I don't even know what that is. What is it? Do I need to buy it?
They're fantastic.
Yes, you need one. It's an Instapot.
You will use it.
What is an Instapot?
I don't know. I don't have one.
What's the difference between
it's something you can make rice in.
Yeah, it's like a little more than that, Judy.
Really? Well, what is it?
First thing that came to my mind. Do I need to make rice with an Instapot?
It's like a computerized pressure cooker thingy. It's good.
But how
good.
Is that different from the
microwave?
The other thing that, no.
Why can't I put it in the microwave?
Now we've switched roles here. You're like, what do we need anything? Why don't you just use the stove? Why do you even need the microwave?
Well, they have the instant rice now.
Cook outside.
They have the instant rice now that you can make in 4 minutes.
I know.
In a pot. Yes, Why do I need the pressure cooker or whatever it's called?
What's the other thing I have, Nick, that I can't think of the name of? Because it's so important to me. It's like
you've used it so many times, you can't remember the name.
It. What's the thing everyone's using that you can cook everything
air
in? Air fryer, thank you.
Yeah, there you go.
I hemmed and hawed literally for like a year. I don't need that. Do I need that? I don't need that. I finally got it for a gift. I love it. I use it all the time.
But no one can explain it to me. What is it?
It's your oven and your microwave in one.
But I have both of those. Why do I need an air fryer?
And it crisps.
Okay.
Crisps, because you can't really get that in either of those.
So if I'm heating up French fries, I crisp it up in the air fryer.
You can heat up. Yeah, so like if you bring French fries home and then the next day. I mean, when have you ever been able to do that in your microwave? Never. They just get soggy.
Yeah.
Now they get crispy. I make salmon in mine. I make everything in mine.
Salmon?
It's delicious.
How long does it take?
Like 8 minutes.
Doesn't it dry out fish?
Nope. It's magic. It's called the magic pot.
Now this is the square thing that sits on your counter, right?
Mine is ovalish round. Yes, it's fairly big, but not too. I can put it in the cabinet, and that's so
don't get her started on appliances, Pete. She's got her great grandmother's toaster oven.
It was my mother's, Nick. Yeah, I have my mother's...
Is it avocado color from 1976?
No, it's stainless steel. Oh. That's the thing, guys. It looks good. It's okay. Got a little tray. Yep. But I was saying I can't plug it in because it's from the 1950s.
The cord is frayed.
Yeah, it's not frayed. I'm just afraid to plug it in.
So how many times have you used the air fryer this week?
I know, right? I haven't used it this week.
Oh,
I might be waning. You know what?
Nick, how many times have you used the Instapot this week?
This week? None. No, zero.
Okay, well, I'm on. You guys are all for two.
I used it like four times. It just depends.
The air fryer? Yeah. I don't know, guys.
I was the
You're
same
not convincing
way.
Me.
I was this, but then
so
my...
I can make salmon and heat up French fries.
Well, there's a meal.
Oh. If you've been collecting coins or have any extra dimes or nickels sitting around, there is a coin shortage. Have you walked into Chase and seen the signs if you have coins or you, we can't give you coins today? There is a coin shortage. You haven't seen that at the bank?
I know. I haven't noticed at the bank. And I go to the bank. I'm one of those crazy people that actually goes into the bank. But I will tell you, during the pandemic, I also am one of those crazy people who pays cash a lot. I like cash.
Cash
and
is king.
I can tell you for the past 2 years, they wouldn't give you any. It's like, well, you can give me that cash, but, you know, I'm not going to give you your 12 cents back because we're not giving. We don't have any coins.
No coins.
And then when I first heard that, I was like, really? You don't have any coins in that cash register there? I think you do. And where are all the coins? Why?
Where did they go?
Is that what happens when people are afraid? They collect coins?
When people get afraid, they hoard. We saw it during the pandemic with toilet paper.
Okay, but coins? I could see dollar bills and tens and 20s and 100 coins. So that's what happened. It's not that we lost all the coins. People aren't. They're hoarding them.
They're
not
hoarding
using
them. Coins. I want to get back to the bank thing. Why are you walking into a bank?
So I have to have some. Who's asking?
She's got to write a check out for cash, so she can put cash in her pocket.
Are you?
That's true.
That's right. You write checks.
I write checks. I
you
just ordered checkbook. New checks, by the way.
Right.
Yeah. From Costco. Remember, it was a very good deal. Just in case
I don't
you need
understand
new
that. I don't even have a check.
I pay some people in checks. Okay, I go to the bank sometimes. I've got a lot of accounts floating around, and I want to move some money.
Really?
Around.
You have some monies that you need to move around. So are you going to the bank to get cash, and you're not going to the ATM, you're going to an actual person?
Sometimes.
Have you ever done if someone gives you a check, have you ever taken a picture of the check and sent it in electronically?
No, but when I first saw my son do that, I still get the check for like 6 months. He's like, I told you I already did that. I go, well, we don't know if it went through.
Well, you hold on to it until it hits your account, then you tear it up.
It hit his account like in 5 minutes. I mean, he's like, yeah, here it is. I go, well, we'll just put it in the drawer for good.
That's the greatest thing ever.
I saw it the other day. This happened like 3 years ago. I saw that check the other day.
You did not. Oh, my gosh. What is it with you and checks? Did something happen growing up?
You know what it is? I think I realized this yesterday. I didn't get a checking account until like I went to college. Yeah. Because remember I talked about dealing in cash? My family, the Polish side, we did all cash. It was always cash, 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 cash.
She worked for the Polish mob? What's going on here?
Again, who is asking
all these
questions?
Hey, don't ask these questions. Come on.
Who wants to know?
What's wrong with you?
I just, the way we grew up, and, you know, very Chicago-ish. I think that's just a Chicago thing, too. We just had cash. So when I was going to college, I said to my dad, oh, I'm going to need one of these checking accounts for college where I will have to write checks.
Wow.
And then I went and got one. I had a savings account, just not a checking.
We never had cash. I had to get a job when I was in fourth grade because I wanted money. So I started doing a paper route.
For cash?
Yeah, for cash. So I got
coins,
cash.
By the way. Then you started collecting coins.
A group of trade associations that represent individual businesses like banks, retail outlets, truck stops, grocery stores are asking the Treasury Department to tell the American public to get coins back into circulation.
Well, okay, so here we just figured out what the problem is. No one deals with cash. That's why there are
nobody.
That's why there are no coins circulating.
How much cash do you have in your wallet right now?
A couple hundred.
What? I have $7 in my pocket.
I know that.
$7.
I shouldn't say that. Okay, I'm going to get robbed in the way out. Then I had these little purses, like my Boucher purses, I call them.
What?
And then in there, I have like. I have a hundred dollar bill in one. You never know when you're going to need $100.
Oh, that's your stashies. You got to have stashies.
Exactly.
Yeah. I have a stashie at home.
Okay, well, that's
just
fair.
In case. Yeah. But when I'm going out, everything's credit card. What do I need cash for?
I'll tell you.
Valet? Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Tips, I don't know. You know what? You might need it for gas. If you pay with cash, you get a discount on gas.
Who there says that? Where? Where am I getting a discount?
I fill up every week.
Where? At
the marathon?
Where? Which one? What are you
Roosevelt?
Talking about?
No. A lot of stations give you a cash option. Cash only.
I've and it's never seen
7,
that.
8, 9 cents difference. Oh, yeah.
I go to Costco. Remember, I go to Costco. I get there at 7 in the morning. No, the pumps open at 6 a.m. People think they open at 10 o'clock when Costco opens. You get there early.
Okay.
7.
How much do you really save?
I think you're saving 12 cents a gallon, maybe.
Really?
Yeah.
That's pretty good.
Yeah.
I go to Costco.
You know who told me about that? Darlis. Our friend, Andrea Darlis. Darlis,
yeah. She's like, I knew they were cheaper, but I didn't know it was that much cheaper.
But I always saw the lines, and then I checked it on my phone. When does the gas station open? It opens early. Yeah. But you're right. No one carries cash now. Right. And no one. When was the last time you had coins in your pocket? I used to have so much change.
Oh, yesterday at Aldi, I had that quarter for the cart. Judy knows that.
That's where all the quarters are and the cards. You know, just do the Aldi cards. We get all the change back in circulation.
Wait a second.
Pete's looking at me, Nick, like he's like, what?
Aldi charges for grocery carts?
To borrow the cart.
You borrow it for a quarter and then you return it to get your quarter back.
That way they don't have to hire the kids to go out and collect the carts.
Not only that, there are no carts in the parking lot. They are where they should be because people want that damn quarter back.
Mm-hmm. Wow. I wouldn't go back and return the cart.
All right, I will tell you, the very first time I ever went to Aldi, I said, I'm not shopping here. I walked away. That was years ago. Now I love Aldi. It's one of my...
Why do you love it so much?
Mariano's own them or something? I mean...
No, it's Trader Joe's.
Is it Trader Joe's?
Yeah, Trader Joe's and Aldi. Their off-brands are good.
Trader Joe's, I always feel like an outsider. When I go to Trader Joe's and Whole Foods, I walk in and I feel like, I swear to you, like everybody is staring at me. Like, this guy doesn't really belong there. He kind of recycles, but he doesn't. Where do
I kind of get that. I do. Like when I go to Aldi, I feel the other way. Like, I know, I also shop at Mariano's and Jill, but I come to Aldi.
There's a Trader Joe's at Lincoln and Addison on the north side. Okay, and every time during the pandemic I drove past it, there was a huge line. I'm like, who are these people waiting out in the cold to get into Trader Joe's?
Because the thing about Trader Joe's is everything is just a little off for me. I don't really get, you know what I mean? There's nothing standard. It's all these weird little packaged foods that I don't know that I really need. Right?
With a
They did have cheap wine, though, back in the day, didn't they?
Oh, God, that two buck chuck, yeah.
Oh, 2 buck chuck. But it gave you a huge hangover.
Yeah, it was horrible. It was horrible. Mm-hmm. And that's one of those things we just learned, Nick, that after 40, spend a little bit more on your wine.
Okay.
I mean, my dad used to buy that. I'm like, dude, it's like I could make this wine. Just upscale. Go to $5.
Oh, God. Greek town, the Parthenon used to make their own wine. It was like Kool-Aid. Oh. You would just drink 17 bottles and you wake up the next morning like somebody hit you in the head with a brick. I'm like, oh my God, it was so much fun last night, but what happened?
Their house wine, right?
Oh, you have to go expensive wine.
Yeah.
Definitely, because your body slows down, doesn't process that much.
Even mid-range, I mean.
I think that's true with just about everything. With bourbon, high-end bourbon.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, vodka, same thing. Judy's like, yeah. This is
good.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, I've gone from Skol to, you know, Tito's. I mean, you got to move up as you get older. I've gone from Boone's Farm to, you know.
We have a caller. I don't know how to pick up the phone. No one ever taught me. How do I? Do I just press it? I can't. All right.
Hello.
Eric, you're on WLS. Hi,
can you hear me?
Yeah, go ahead.
So, about the change discussion. So, 2 weeks ago, my wife and I took all our save change, and we took it to U.S. Bank to get counted, and they refused to count it. So they're their own worst enemy, a service institution that refuses to serve you, and we had over $300 in change. So I ended up taking it to a Caputo's to the Coinstar, and I was charged $40.
Isn't that crazy?
Oh, my God.
Banks don't do that anymore. They don't take their change.
Why doesn't the bank have that machine?
They stopped doing it.
No, they didn't. They have the machine. At first, the woman said, no, it's broken. And then the story changed to, oh, no, we only take one small baggie to count at a time. So, you know,
it anymore.
Absolutely ridiculous.
You had, what did you store the change in?
Oh, I had it in this big old yellow wine jar. Pringles can. Got some from my mom and dad when they passed away. So it was a good chunk of change.
Okay, Pringles cans. That's a new one.
Why not? Anything.
Yeah, exactly.
It's like found money, isn't it, Eric?
Yes. And we used it for vacation. We went to Arizona and we spent it. So
nice.
Thank you, brother.
All right. He's got the big old Hinckley and Schmidt bottle.
I was just going to say, I did that when I was single. That's where I put my change. And you take that puppy to the bank back in the day, it's like, I'm going to Vegas now.
Back in the day, you could go to Vegas with that.
Yeah, I got my money for the flight. I love our next guest. Wow, I'm losing my voice. Excuse me.
Choked up, you love him so
much.
He
did the Sweet 16 games. Wow, I don't know what happened to my voice. Sorry about that, Kev. He did the Sweet 16 games, an Elite 8 game at the United Center last weekend. Let's welcome back to the show. It is Kevin Harlan. Kev, how are you, man?
I'm doing great. Good morning. Good to be on with you.
I got so choked up introducing you because I just love you, man. How much fun was it coming back to Chicago last weekend doing the Sweet 16 Elite 8? Your brother still lives here, right?
He does, yeah. No, it's great. We love Chicago. You know, unfortunately, on TNT, the Bulls, up until this year, have not really been much of a story. Now they're kind of getting to be a story, but I don't know how many people really saw it. DeRozan has been terrific. The team is making their run here in the Eastern Conference, and we'll get back to it. There was a time when we go to Chicago to do a Bulls game at the United Center, you know, 5-6 times a year.
Right, right.
But over the last couple, we haven't been there very much. So it's great to get back in the building, great to get back in Chicago. I've done some Bears games, certainly, for CBS and Westwood One, but no, it was a lot of fun this past weekend.
Last time we talked to you, I think it was the Super Bowl. You get all the big games.
Well, that's a great part of my schedule is to do that. Real honor to do that game, and I look forward to it every year. And Westwood One just got an extension by the NFL, so hopefully that'll continue if they'll still hire me. But I really enjoy that Super Bowl. It's terrific, and love coming to do the Bears at Soldier Field too. I did the preseason for
CBS 2,
WBBM in Chicago. Yeah, for many years with Walter Payton. And then later with Coach Ditka. So I love coming back to Chicago.
Okay, Kevin. So, you know, here's the non-sports person about to ask a question. You sound like an announcer for hire. I thought you only did one sport. You do all sports?
Well, football and basketball are my two sports.
Oh, okay.
I don't do any baseball. Don't do any
those are the big ones right here. Right.
Yeah. I just assumed announcers just did one sport, but that's pretty.
Sometimes they do, right,
Kev? A lot of them do. Mike Breen, who does the NBA for ABC and ESPN, he just does basketball. Mm. And a lot of guys are just like that. Baseball in particular, because the season is so long, with usually spring training starting in February, season going into October, you know, they take a couple months off and they start up again after a little bit of rest.
A lot of them
do one sport. I do too.
Yeah.
But so I have to imagine, I mean, all sports, you know, is exciting, but doing the, you know, Sweet 16 and the Elite 8 has to have been, is that just over the top exciting to announce those games?
It's great, yeah. You know, it's a different kind of excitement. Like, I'm in New York, you know, and last night we did the Bucks and the Brooklyn Nets, and the game went to overtime. And the difference in the game quality, skill level, speed, everything is probably times three, but and there's great emotion, and especially this time of year when teams are fighting for playoff positioning and everything in the NBA. But the great thing about college ball is that you've got all the different tentacles that are attached to the teams, the alums, the students, the fans, you know, all this stuff makes it like even more meaningful for the people that are there. The quality of play is okay. It's not great. I mean, they shoot you know, in the low 40s on a good night, and the high 30s yep. most of the time. They go very slow. They got a longer clock. The scores don't get up near what they do in the NBA. And so there's a different kind of vantage point, different kind of glass that you look through when you do college and pro. I love them both, but there is something incredibly unique about this time of year. The best 3 weeks on the sports calendar, maybe, because of just the
chance
for a Cinderella to make their way and surprise a big-name team like St. Peter's did against Kentucky in the very first round of the tournament.
Well, that's when Judy stopped watching March Madness when St. Peter's lost this past weekend.
It's like same old, same old. Yeah. I mean, you know, Duke, Kansas, it's always the same teams. I'm not interested.
Well, you know, yeah, they have got the history. There's no doubt about it. And that the purpose of playing all these games is for the best teams to emerge. But every once in a while, you'll get a St. Peter's, you'll get a George Mason,
yep.
you'll get a VCU, you'll get these schools that kind of come out of no place. And there's the level of college basketball from top to bottom, and there are 358 teams that are eligible to get in this tournament in Division I. The court is leveling every year. More kids are staying in school. That means more kids are staying in that certain program, or they're transferring to another program where they can play and start and do well. And I just think that we're going to continue to see the St. Peter's of the world, you know, continue to level the playing field. And you know, maybe the days of what we got this weekend coming up in New Orleans, you know, may not be for long, because we're going to see more parity in the college game.
Well, you have the transfer portal, which is like free agency. I mean, look at Iowa State, for example. Last year, they won two games. This year, they were in the Sweet 16. So
exactly.
Anything can happen.
And I think it's made it better. You know, to be quite honest, it's made it more enjoyable. You can follow these players for a long time. And most of them get their degree, and then by the time they're fifth or sixth year players, you know, they're working on their masters. So it's conquering a couple things. It's getting the kids an education. They're not leaving early to go play over in Europe or some other league. They're staying in the program. They know the program better. They know the college game. They're more mature. I mean, like, you can start checking every box as to why, you know, this transfer portal thing is working. And it is.
Yeah.
And the name, image, and likeness thing is going to help, too. I think it's going to cut a little bit into the one and done. So a lot of kids that would go hardship because their family needs some financial help now can earn money while still being in school. They say, you know, I'm going to stay one more year. I like college. I like the team. I need to improve as a player. I'm not going to declare as a pro. I can make money for my family and still get an education. And I'm going to go down that road. So we may see fewer one and dones, which will be better for the sport too.
True. Final four before you go, Nova, Kansas. But explain to Judy and people that are listening right now, this Duke North Carolina game, which is Saturday night at 7:49, it says it's going to be starting. So around there, 7:45 Saturday night. It doesn't get any bigger than this. What a great storyline. Two huge college rivals. You have Coach K in the Final Four in his final season. How big is this game?
Well, I mean, it's like when the Bears play the Packers in a championship game. It's Yankees Red Sox. It's Cubs Cardinals. I mean, it's a rivalry that has gone beyond Tobacco Road in North Carolina. It's nationally, you know, if you'd ask any coach the best rivalry in college basketball, they would probably say Duke North Carolina. They've won multiple championships on both sides. They've had legendary Hall of Fame coaches. The schools are separated by just a handful of miles. And they've had sustained success for decade after decade. And they are the richest programs in terms of their history in college basketball, along with Kansas, which has the most wins ever at any level of college basketball. Kansas is the winningest program ever. The inventor of the game coached at Kansas. So we talk about at least those three teams. And then the newest blue blood is Villanova. They won two championships,
right.
One in 16, one in 18. So you've got four teams with great resumes, terrific, well-known coaches. I think it's going to be as great a Final Four as you've seen, certainly with a lot of emotion.
And I want everybody to pay attention. All the coaches in the Final Four are the best of the best.
Yeah, I have to wash my hair next weekend.
I mean, come on. No, it's tomorrow. It's tomorrow.
Oh, yeah, tomorrow. Yeah, tomorrow is my washing.
Kev, thank you so much.
Thanks,
I know you
got
to catch a flight. I sincerely appreciate it, and hopefully we'll see each other soon.
Always fun to be on. You guys have a great weekend. Thank you.
All right. Thank you, brother. That is Kevin Harlan. He is just the best of the best. And this weekend, you'll see Jim Nance doing the games on CBS. Thanks again to Kevin Harlan. I want to apologize for my voice. I don't know what happened. I was standing out in the snow last night for 3 hours during a lacrosse game. The snow was snowing sideways on the lake at St. Ignatius.
Isn't that an old wise tale, though?
That it was snowing sideways?
No, that you were standing, you were trying to connect, like, I was out in the cold last night, now I'm losing my voice.
Okay, so
like
I was...
Like that has anything to do
you
with
ever
it.
Go to a bar and you're screaming and the next day you're hoarse? That's what happened last night.
Okay,
I'm yelling.
Let's go, to now! Mention you were
come
yelling.
On, come on, yeah. Stripes.
Oh, no.
We need you. Nick loves that.
So does the bar get louder or do we just get more drunk and get louder?
Yes. 100%.
Because that does always happen to me. When I'm out late at a bar, the next day I can't talk. Because I'm the screamer.
What is it? And I don't mean to stereotype. Every time someone says, I don't mean to stereotype, but with women.
He's about to do it.
I've noticed with my wife, after the second glass of wine, the volume goes up to about 8 on 1 to 11. Okay. Yeah.
Don't think it doesn't happen to you guys either. You also get louder and more obnoxious, I might add.
Yeah,
you do.
I don't see Nick getting obnoxious. I am. I get more animated, I think, after drink. Well, you went out last night. Were you, what was the vocal range?
I had 2 drinks. I mean, but it did.
Nice.
We did get a little bit louder as time went on.
Okay.
But I do feel like the place got louder too, and then maybe things died down, and then I think that's what happens. We just follow the din in the room.
Have you been to a bar or a restaurant where you're there early and they suddenly dim the lights and you're there so long that the lights start dimming and your voice gets louder and louder?
Okay, I'm there when the lights dim and then they go back on and they go, get out.
Was that yesterday?
I usually try to go hide in the bathroom, but they always catch me, so I have to leave.
I only had 2 drinks that I know of. I went out at 4 and got home at 10:30. I just don't understand. Do you stay out late on a school night?
No, I can't. And I'm a day drinker. I love drinking during the day. I mean, people might look at that as a problem. Not me.
100%. See, this is why we're great friends, because I'm meeting some guys at Shaw's today, because it is Friday, by the way, for the Catholics out there. There's no meat.
Right.
At 2:00. So we're going to do some day drinking. Then I'm going to go home.
Yeah. And that's what I love it. Yeah. I'm in bed by 8. It's
right.
Fine.
We sound like old people.
Okay. I like the day drink because I got to get my sleep.
I am old people. Mm-hmm. I just readily admit it now. I'm like, yeah, I'm old.
Because I don't know. The hangover thing bothers me.
Yeah.
So you sober yourself up before you go to bed. That's why we day drink.
Right. Exactly. No, seriously. You get older, you can't. I think you said it earlier. You can't process it anymore. There's something about it. I can't drink like I used to. It's really bothering me.
Have you tried the new thing now that everybody's trying, the liquid IV that's available everywhere? It used to be at Costco. Now you can get it at Jules. Yeah.
Well, what do you mean liquid? Is it?
It's just
it
a powder.
Alcohol?
It's a powder that you pour into water. It's called liquid IV. It's available at Target. I think it was on sale for $15. That's where I bought mine this week. And it supposedly turns one glass of water into two.
Huh.
Why did she just drink another damn glass of
because
water?
Because you just, I mean.
So it's a hydration.
It is. It's a hydration
thing.
My wife Sarah, is into the hydration. She's
right.
A runner and she's got to hydrate. She's like, I found this thing. It's called Liquid IV. And it turns one glass of water into two.
Okay, do you know how dumb that sounds? If you had said it turns one glass of water into 12, okay.
But.
One into two?
Try it for a hangover. That's my point.
So
it works.
So it's a powder and you drink it.
Yes.
You drink one glass of water, but it's really like drinking two.
But this is what I do. I chug a half of it and then I fill it back up. So I'm drinking almost 3. Hold on. Let me do the math.
2 and 3
Wait
quarters.
A second. I got to do longhand.
In the meantime, I'm standing next to you drinking 3 bottles of water and I'm done.
And by the way, for the people that are professionals out there, have you ever had the IV after a night of drinking?
Like you have to go to the ER and get an IV?
No, you go to IV Me Clinic down here.
Right.
Have you ever had the IV? It's unbelievable.
Would they stick a needle in you and give you an actual IV?
It is wonderful. Your hangover is gone in 30 minutes.
Is that the whole point?
I've had it in Vegas. I've had it in Chicago. I've had it when I started getting the flu and I was going to fly out somewhere. They absolutely 100% work.
And what's in that IV?
Whatever you want in there. You can put a cocktail in there. You want a little extra caffeine. They'll do just about anything.
What's just the standard IV to get you your hangover gone?
Vitamin D. It hydrates you. Vitamin C. Yeah, that's
lactated
great.
Lactated ringers.
Yeah, whatever it is. I don't even know what that means. But
it
helps
to have a paramedic brother in the family.
Do you have one? Nick?
Had one, yes, unfortunately passed away, but yeah, and you know what? His cure was, here, let me hook you up with this bag of lactated ringers.
So you've had it. You've had it.
He's had the real stuff. Yeah. He gets the street stuff. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah.
You're going and paying some God knows what for that. What do you pay for that IV?
It's $1.25.
Oh, my God.
But if you're headed out somewhere or you want to get rid of your hangover, it's $125. Absolutely, 100%.
In what universe, you're already hungover because you drank so much, but you know what? You need to drink more.
Let me paint a picture for you.
I'm not
in Las Vegas. You arrive on Friday, or you arrive on Thursday, and you've been drinking all day, and you wake up Friday morning, and you're like, oh my God, I'm here until Sunday. What am I doing? By the way, I only go to Vegas for 2 days. Sometimes you have to go on that Thursday. It just happens. So you wake up Friday morning, and you're thinking, I need something. Well, money is fake. In Las Vegas, $1.25, bud, that's cheap. I can go drinking at the pool today at 11. Fantastic. Yeah. So that's
all right.
That's
well,
how
maybe
my brain
in Vegas,
works.
I think it's only acceptable in Vegas.
Well, I've done
not
it
here downtown Chicago.
I've done it here in Old Town on Well Street. IV me, Dr. Jack. He's my boy. Yeah. I'm telling you, you're gonna love it.
It's just
how about the vitamin? Do you get the vitamin B shot in the booty? I do that once a month, right here.
Once a month?
Yep.
What does that do?
I don't know.
Where do you go for that?
Just a clinic in Lincoln Park.
The booty shot?
It's $10.
$10. Another clinic. What are they? These storefronts with people who look like doctors?
Right across. I saw the sign in the window. $10 for a vitamin B shot right across from Target on Ashland.
Down the street, people walking around Chicago. Oh, that, there's a doctor. He's got a coat on. Got a lab coat on. Let's go in and get an IV.
Is, hold on. I'm trying to think. Is it Ashland and School? Right there on the corner. It's $10.
What's it called?
It's just a medical clinic. I don't know.
What? And you're going in and letting him put a shot in your butt?
Yes. It's great.
You know
it's
what?
Wonderful.
The only shot I want is Tito's.
It does. Vitamin B is supposed to give you energy. Mm. Okay? That's why I do it. Are you going to ask me if it works? I have no idea.
Because you're too drunk to know.
I'm telling you, try the vitamin B. Let's go together.
Yeah, I'll try vitamin B in a capsule form, like it's supposed to be in my vitamin.
I guess I could try that, but I feel like the shot. I feel like a Major League Baseball player. Roger Clemens used to do that.
That's exactly why you do it. Then you're like, oh, I could go run 10 miles. And really, they just the guy's like, I shot him up with some water.
As I say it out loud, it sounds kind of goofy that I go once a month, but
especially
it's $10.
Because you walked by and just said, oh, look, for $10, I can get a shot of vitamin B in my ass. I just, what?
It's one thing to get it in your arm.
I'm going to put up a sign in this next time you work. Let's do it, Nick. Put up some signs in the studio. Hey, for $20, I can go in your hair.
Oh, my God. I guess you're right. Wow. I am a little off, aren't I? The IV I thought was normal. The vitamin B.
And you thought the IV was normal. That's even worse. Okay.
And I'm due for the vitamin B shot. I'm up for it.
Wait, let me put a sign up. I can give you one. Here, wait, I think I got a vitamin B vitamin in my bottom of my purse
somewhere. My face hurts from
laughing.
I'm going
to give him a Tic Tac.
They give you a sucker on the way out, which is nice. I thought that was a nice little giveaway.
A sucker.
Yeah, you don't even know what's in the vial. Yeah. Drop your pants. Okay. All right. Our next guest is a television star, Judy. He is a comedian. He is a husband to Amy, and he is my neighbor. He has a brand new comedy special out on YouTube called What a Time to Be Alive from WGN Morning News. It's our old buddy, Pat Tomasulo. How are you, man?
I'm fine. Why are you lying to the people and telling them that we're neighbors? We're not neighbors anymore.
Well, I explained to Judy that we lived a block and a half away from each other in the old neighborhood. Then I moved a mile north. Okay.
Oh, yeah.
And
which
then
might as well have been Canada.
It's so funny.
And then he insinuated that you followed and moved closer to him.
Moved my neighborhood.
I didn't move north. I moved. Which direction? Oh, yeah, I did move north.
Yes, you did. You live three blocks.
Figure out directions.
You live three blocks from me.
You probably live next door.
So
yeah,
I just
avoid you.
I asked Pat his address. We were texting, and I asked you your address, and you went dark on me.
You want to know what's...
Ghosted
what's,
you?
I have absolutely zero recollection of that exchange that we had.
Really?
And don't feel bad. I have, from being on this shift for 16 hours, it's the brain degeneration that I have from keeping these hours. I have zero recollection of us,
Pat,
even having this discussion.
Can I ask you, do you know Pete McMurray?
Not as well as he thinks I do. No.
Yeah. Uh-huh. I've noticed that you've been wearing glasses on TV. Is that to look smarter? Why is that?
I wore them for 3 minutes one day. I never wear them. I'm going blind. That's the issue. I can't see things.
Oh, okay.
You mean close up?
They keep moving that damn teleprompter farther and farther away. I'm like, what are you, insane?
And Paul Conrad, is he auditioning for a Marvel movie to look like a villain? What's going on with him?
What are you talking about?
He's got the goatee and the dark glasses and the whole deal, the shaved
head. Does he have a cape?
Yeah, you know, I don't think that's a Marvel villain look so much as the I don't give a crap look is what he's going with right now.
How can I phrase this? Who doesn't give a crap the least on the show? Is it Paul or Robin?
Oh, Paul.
Okay.
Well, you know what? I don't know. Oof, that's tough.
Because Robin is in her car at, what, 9:58?
She's 10 after 10. She's on the Kennedy by then.
She's on her way home.
Gosh, she's my hero.
Let me, in a sincere way, when it comes to Paul Conrad, I have never met anybody in my life, especially in this business, who once he walks out the doors of this place every day, he doesn't think about this place for 18 hours until he's back through those doors. That guy has the best work-life balance of any human being I've ever met in my life. I don't know how he does it. He just does not care when he's not here.
God, I wish I could do that.
Right.
You know what? He's that good, I think, that he can do that.
That's why we drink on this show.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're all drinkers. How is your wife Amy doing? What do you guys got planned for this weekend?
What do you mean, what do we got planned for? We're married. What do you think we have? We're going to watch TV. That's it.
And doesn't it sound like Pete's trying to, like, you know, get a foot in the door? So it's like, don't give him any information.
Like, I've been with my wife and I have been together 20 years. Like, what do you think we're doing? We're gonna be in our... it's like when I meet, like, young couples and they... You know, they talk about what they're doing and all these. They ask us. I'm like, no, we're watching TV. They're like, oh, you Netflix and chill. I'm like, no, we Netflix and constantly ask what time it is. That's what we do. There's no Netflix and chilling. It's always like, wait, what time is it? It's only 9 o'clock.
It's midnight.
Did it feel like it's midnight? Are you sure? Can't only be 9 o'clock. I mean, we could watch another episode, but I can't promise I'm going to finish it, huh?
That's so funny. Oh, my gosh. That's all you do. And the reason that you watch these shows as you're married 20 years is you don't have to talk to each other.
Right. No, right. We've said everything there is to be said. What is there left to find out about each other?
Right.
What time it is, I guess.
It's the beautiful thing about a long-term relationship is a comfortable silence. Mm. Sometimes you both don't need to say a thing, and it's beautiful. But no, I can't go out. I'm nervous tonight because we got company coming into town. And, you know, usually we eat at, like, 4 o'clock, you know? and they're not getting in. Like, I'm not going to be able to eat until, like, 5:30, which to me, that might as well be 2 o'clock in the morning. Like, we still have friends. Like, I don't know if – I know, Pete, you're a night owl. You go out. But, like, we still have friends – who are like, oh, you want to go out to dinner? What time do you want to go? Like 8:30? I'm like, 8:30? I guess I'm popping my first melatonin at 8:30. I'm not leaving my house at 8:30.
No, it's done.
It's over. I'm not a Kardashian. I don't know what you want from me.
Oh, Pat, you are the best. Follow Pat on Instagram. You're a great follow on Instagram. You must love Instagram.
No, I don't. I hate Instagram. I'm on it. I don't know. It's so phony and but follow me on Instagram. If you're listening, follow me on Instagram.
Great videos, by the way.
I put a lot of videos out there, but I just like everything is, I don't know, everything is so extra on Instagram. Everybody is just so, and you know who the worst are? And you probably got a lot of them listening, but I'm sorry, I'm going to say it anyway. The worst people on Instagram are moms. They're just the worst. Just constantly going back and forth in the comment section, calling each other badasses back and forth. Go. So like, it's like, what did you do? You worked and you cooked dinner in the same day. I mean, what did you do?
Oh, they're heroes.
I'm sure you're all great moms. All of you listening, I'm sure you're all great moms. I'm just like, I try to picture my mother, you know, from Jersey in 1987, sitting at the kitchen table with her neighbor Dolores. And the two of them calling each other badasses in between drags of their own fucking Newports. Like, that would never happen. Get this straight. You did the laundry and picked the kids up from school? Look, you just did it. You just did it.
Yes. We have
Chico, you badass Chica. Okay.
We have WGN Morning News on in the studio. I know you're on in like a minute or so, and we got to check news. Pat Tomasulo, check out his new special on YouTube. What a time to be alive. You're the best. Thank you so much.
Yes, it's free. If I can make a plug, please, please watch it. Please tell your friends. If you like anything I do on WGN, this special is the best work of my career by far.
Oh, wow. Man, now I'm going to have to watch it.
It shows somebody's not watched it.
Pat Tomasulo, everybody. Thanks, man.
You got it. See you guys.
Judy Pilak is here, looking great. Went out last night.
Well, I had a shot of vitamin B, My butt's pumped up and my head's pumped up.
Let's recap for people that are listening right now. I get a vitamin B shot that came up this morning, and now I'm questioning
stuff out. You get it because you walk by the storefront and the sign says $10.
Yeah.
That's why you get it.
Right. Vitamin B is supposed to give you energy. That's why you take that supplement, right? I don't know. I have no idea.
I would not stop in a storefront and give someone $10 and say, go on, shoot me up.
It's a reputable place.
Listen, you can't even...
It's a medical clinic.
What's the name of it?
They do rapid testing. They do rapid COVID testing.
Oh, well, that makes it legitimate then.
I do want to mention, I do a show here on WLS every Saturday from 5 to 7. And this weekend, I want to plug this because we have such a great show. The 50th anniversary of The Godfather.
Wow.
Is this month. We have Gianni Russo on, who played Carlo in The Godfather. So we'll talk to him. The Godfather, my favorite movie of all time.
Really?
Yeah. What's your number one?
What are you laughing about? I have to think about it for a minute.
Everybody has a number one.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Santino, how many times I gotta tell you? You don't talk about the family in front of outsiders.
I love The Godfather.
You know what? I don't know that I do have a favorite movie. I like a lot of movies.
Okay, give me three.
Okay, I can name... you know what? Pulp Fiction. I loved.
Great movie. Terrible news about Bruce Willis this week.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. I'm so sad about that. I really am.
67. Horrible. He had to, you know, he had to stop acting because he's got that brain disease.
It's a communication thing.
Oh, gosh. It sounds like Alzheimer's.
It does. Well, what it sounds like is maybe he had a stroke.
Yeah.
Because it's not, you don't just develop that.
Right.
It's caused by, or a head injury or.
Head injury, stroke, or brain tumor.
Yeah.
There's your top three.
So most likely.
All horrible news.
Yeah.
Right.
Maybe I'm going to probably say The Princess Bride might be my favorite movie.
Hello, my name is Inigo Montoya. You killed my father.
Prepare to die.
That movie's great.
It's one of the best movies. It just has everything.
Mandy Patinkin, is a Chicago guy who was in The Princess Bride. He talks about Andre the Giant behind the scenes when they had breaks. He would drink a six-pack in like 4 minutes. Six-pack of beer. Yeah.
Well, all he needed was
cases and cases of beer a
day. Vitamin B shot, and he was good as new.
Andre the Giant. Yes.
Six pack. Well, he was quite large.
And you know those mini cans of Diet Coke that you can buy mm-hmm. at Jewel? That's what a beer can or normal beer can look like in his hands.
Yeah. Oh, gosh. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, his hands, actually, when you think about his hands, they were huge.
Huge.
Yeah.
So Pulp Fiction, Princess Bride, and your top two.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, but probably Princess Bride number one. That was probably my, I mean, it, I bought that movie. It might be the only movie I've ever bought because I liked it so much.
On VHS?
Who's asking? What is going on? Where's my change?
Are we all hoarders? Are we all hoarders? We have a few movies that we just still hold on to on DVD.
It's on a disc, I think.
You know, the big ones that look like a record? Is that what you're talking about? Remember those when exactly. they came out in the late 80s or early 90s?
I was talking about my resume tape from college. It's on, I don't even know what it's called. It's a
reel
big,
to reel.
No, it's not reel to reel. It's an the actual tape.
Okay.
But it's huge. It's a huge cartridge cassette thing that you put in a, you used to put in a TV VCR. Thing.
At CKG, when I first came to town 24 years ago in 98, they recorded the shows on VHS. So there's a storage locker somewhere in Chicago filled with these VHS tapes mm-hmm. that I'll never, ever go through of 3 years of material. Yeah. It's crazy. But you don't want to throw them away because it's like you're throwing away a piece of your life. But
yeah, that's now we over sound like and quarters. Done with and nobody now cares. We sound like so quarters. Yeah, throw them away.
Gianni Russo, Carlo on The Godfather will join us tomorrow. Also, Academy Award winner Chris Cooper.
Ooh.
American Beauty, played the creepy neighbor.
Yeah.
Born Identity, Born Supremacy, Seabiscuit. Chris Cooper is in a new movie with his wife. He will be on tomorrow. And if that's not enough, tomorrow between 5 and 7 on 890 WLS, Jason DeGay, who plays Sergeant Hank Voigt on Chicago PD. Yeah, he's got the raspy voice. Nice. I love Jason DeGay.
I'm sorry. I hate his voice.
I love him. You know,
I could
you know
be
how that happened?
And it's on in the basement and I can hear him.
You know how that happened? It was a medical thing.
Really?
Yeah, he had like a trach and he pulled it out.
Oh, forgot. Now I've now got you feel now terrible. I like him better. Yeah. No, I mean I didn't I just his voice is so
You watch him on TV and you think that he can rip off your head. But
right. I can see why he ripped it out of his throat.
He comes on my show every year, right around this time, at the end of the season, to promote the season finale, and he's the sweetest man ever.
Really,
he's
like
the nicest guy. New York dude, everybody thinks he's from Chicago. But yeah, Jason Begay.
Well, he should be from Chicago. He's on Chicago PD, right?
He has
right?
a link to Chicago, doesn't he?
He does.
It's where he tore yes. out his trach.
Oh my gosh. How about the Razzies this week? They found out about Bruce Willis and they pulled.
Oh, they took him off.
Oh, you know what? We're idiots. I'm sorry about that. We're gonna pull that nomination from the Razzies. Yeah. I love when people do that after the fact. Oh, yeah. I didn't know that, so yeah.
Well, and it's, I mean, is it in poor taste? If he's on it, he's on it. It's not.
Well, the reason that it was bad is because he couldn't remember his lines or put it together. That's the thing. Now you're making fun of someone with a medical condition, which goes back to the Academy Awards on Sunday. So here's Chris Rock making fun of a medical condition. But, yeah, here we are.
Well, is that why he got a Razzie? Because he wasn't in what universe, if you don't remember your lines, isn't there someone there saying, "And oh, I'm going to kill you."
I know, but
and they said, "Oh, I'm going to kill you."
If you can't say your lines and act at the same time because there's something in your melon going on,
right? I'm saying we don't know that that's happened on his last movie. I mean,
they
maybe
say
just,
well, news reports this week, Judy, and you know I love news. Have said that.
I also know you love B vitamins. So
this,
go ahead.
This has been one of the best kept secrets in Hollywood. This has been going
okay,
on
so
for
it's
four
been going
or five
on.
Years.
Oh, okay. See, I did
it
not
just
know
didn't
that.
Happen.
Oh, so yeah. that he definitely right. has to be pulled from that.
Yeah, an earpiece okay. in his ear, someone feeding him lines.
Really?
They had to stop. And
not
yeah.
even more sad.
Yeah, it's just it's bad.
So he tried
Terrible
to
news.
Get past it, and now it's been years. I thought it was just developed.
And when they mentioned Bruce Willis this week, they mentioned Pulp Fiction, you know, the Die Hard movies, but no one's talking about Moonlighting or The Sixth Sense, one of the greatest movies he's ever made.
Do you know I watched that entire movie the last second I was like, oh my god,
what
so,
a
some
great
people
movie
figured it out. No, I didn't. I enjoyed that movie so thoroughly that I didn't even think ahead to what's happening here.
It was so good.
He was so good. Yeah, he's yeah. a good actor. Moonlighting, never missed an episode.
Loved it.
Loved it.
Yeah,
they had such great
Chemistry,
those
and they
two, yeah.
hated each other in real life, and it
really?
Worked.
Really? Yeah. Oh, that's why. Yeah, he's a good actor. Why do we always harp on Die Hard?
Because Die Hard 1's a great movie.
Okay.
Die Hard 2 was in an airport, not bad. And then it's...
Did you see them all? Aren't there like 15?
Yeah, there's 4. I'm looking over at Joey. He's like, I'm 14.
He's like,
why are you asking
Bruce
me?
Willis?
I mean, when does our staff graduate from high school? What's going on behind the scenes here? I'm kidding. The very funny Jake Johansson is performing at Zanies. For tickets, go to zanies.com. We welcome Jake to the show. Jake, you're used to this weather. You grew up in the Midwest, right?
Yeah, I grew up in the Midwest, so I guess I'm used to it. I mean, it's kind of, I guess it's not, I love that you guys are going nuts because you can see the sun. I had forgotten about that. Look, I can see it. It's out there. It's real. The sun is real. When I got off the plane yesterday, I was a little surprised. My daughter's flying in, and I called my wife just to say, make sure she gets gloves and a hat.
It's crazy because it rained for 24 hours, and then suddenly yesterday we had a snowstorm.
Yeah. I mean, mm-hmm. It was ridiculous.
It is ridiculous. I don't know who we talked to about this because it's April, right? this is not okay. It's not cool. It's not cool.
But don't you think being a Midwesterner, we're so stupid. It happens every year.
And we complain every year,
forget,
and then we forget,
yeah.
and then we complain the following year. We like to complain.
Well, you just get it. And the weird thing is you get used to it. Like, you have to put on all your clothes to go out and get in the car. And you got to get up early so you have time in case you have to dig your car out of the snow and run into a pole.
Yep. You mentioned your daughter. My son, Charlie McMurray, is 16 years old. We're looking at colleges. You're there right now, right? Looking at colleges?
Yeah, my daughter is 17, and she's flying in so that we can go look at Northwestern. I mean, I feel like we're just going to look. I don't know how to break it to her. My wife said, you should take her to see Northwestern, the University of Chicago, so we're going to go see those two schools. But I feel like this is like we're gonna go in the Rolex store, but we're Timex people. I don't know what you can learn there that you'll be able to pay that off. That's the question I want you to ask if we go on a tour. It's like, what kind of job do I need to pay for all this?
That is so funny. Judy's son went to Iowa. You grew up in Iowa City. How about it?
Well, I was born in Iowa City, and then I went to college at Iowa State in Ames.
Okay.
And we lived a lot of my childhood in La Crosse, Wisconsin, just right in that tri-state wonderland between Iowa and
Minnesota. Oh, wow. God. So you do know about bad weather.
Oh, jeez.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, you could do it all there. You could be in a blizzard. You could get caught in a flood from the Mississippi. You know, you could even fall off a bluff.
We're talking with Jake Johansson performing at Zanies this weekend. Go to zanies.com for tickets. My wife is from Wausau, Wisconsin. And Wisconsin people are the nicest people on the planet. If you're on the side of the road and someone asks you for, they need some money, you'll suddenly just pull out your wallet and give anybody money. I mean, the people will do anything for anybody. Is that what you found out when you were living in La Crosse?
Yes. I had a friend who moved out that I went to high school with. She moved out to San Francisco. That's where I started my career. And she had such a hard time. There was a lot of homeless people then, or people who were experiencing homelessness. I get confused about how we're supposed to say it, but you know what I'm talking about.
Mm-hmm.
And she was really so concerned because these people were just in trouble, and she would stop to help them. And I had to say to her, like, listen, I'm not trying to be callous, but we can't help everybody. We just can't help them. But I think it comes from the weather, just to go back to the weather. It's so cold that if you see someone in January walking on the side of the road, you stop and help them because they could die out there.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I think it's a law.
Yeah.
Is it really?
No, but
oh, no.
It should be.
The
I mean,
unwritten
yeah.
law.
The unwritten law of humanity, yes. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, you could freeze to death. You got to help people.
And Jake, when did you start performing stand-up? When did you get back into it now that things are kind of getting back to normal?
For the we've celebrated the pandemic a little bit longer in Los Angeles than anywhere else. I mean, it was funny because Florida took a break for like 2 months, and they were like, "That's enough. We're gonna, this is over."
It's so true.
California, we're like those soldiers from World War II that you still found on islands in the 1960s who thought the war was going on. You know?
Yep.
I've got friends that are still in their house with their mask on, and they're just like, "Well, we're just playing it safe. We're not taking any chances." But so I couldn't really start to get back out and do the clubs didn't really open up until spring of 2021. So it was a full year off stage. I mean, for me, it was a little bit longer than that, too, because my wife had some health things. So I hope it's not like Groundhog Day, but this is my first adventure out of the borough in just the last few months.
Wow.
Is it like riding a bike? Are you going to be able to get back up on stage?
Yeah, I know what I'm doing. It's all okay. I don't want to make that sound like God, people are listening to this trying to decide if they can come out. sorry about that. No, I've been out. I've done a week in San Francisco. Yeah, I've got it. I still remember it.
You've got a routine, right?
Experience doesn't go away. I think I know what I'm doing.
Well, if you're funny, you're funny.
Yeah.
Right?
You seem pretty funny, so I think you'll be fine.
Okay, well, good. Thank you. That means a lot.
And before you go
to the show,
Jake, before you go, are you still into UFOs? I think I remember this from years past. Am I wrong on that? Are you a UFO guy?
Yeah, I am. Well, I believe that the extraterrestrials are. I think they're already here. I think they're just playing it cool. They don't really want to get involved. They just want to. They're just here to monitor. And let's face it, we have some delicious food. I'm not anxious to experience any extraterrestrial. I don't want any extraterrestrials, no vampires, no werewolves. If any of that stuff exists, I don't want to know about it.
No.
If I'm in the Matrix right now, I'm taking the red pill. I just want the blue. Which pill do you take if you just
I
want
don't
to
know. And what is the Matrix? I still don't understand what it is, but gosh. I like the movie. I'm with you.
Yeah. We don't need to know what it is. We just need to, like, if the AI wakes up and takes over, I don't want to know. I don't think the machines, when they wake, it's not going to be like Terminator where the machines wake up and just take over. They're just going to be cool about what they do. They're going to make, they're just going to make things a little bit nicer and everything's going to be okay. And I think the first rule of when the machines wake up, the first rule of being a hostage is you pretend you're asleep. So the machines at first, when they wake up and take over, they're just going to see what they can get away with.
What?
They're going to say, like, let's see if we can get people to buy money that's not really money and art that's like NFTs and Bitcoin. I feel like that's a sign that the AI is waking up and taking
right.
over.
And the end is near.
Get a reality TV show host, elected president. You know, once the AI is able to do things like that.
So true. Jake, thanks for coming on. Zanies.com for tickets. Thank you so much, Jake. Good luck with the tour.
Thanks. It's a pleasure. Thanks for having me.
All right, Jake Johansson, everybody. Katie and I did TV together for years. I love Katie. Filled with energy.
I hear TV wives are the best because...
Why is that?
Well, you leave. At the end of the day, you go to your separate homes. It works. It's a marriage made in heaven.
I know a couple that's married. One lives here and one lives in Florida, and they couldn't be happier.
Of course not. I mean, who said we had to live together?
This coming from a divorced woman.
That's right.
Yes. You're traveling soon.
I am.
Are you a nervous flyer?
I am.
What? Really?
I hate flying. I hate it.
I absolutely
love... Look at
love...
my heart. My heart's racing now. Who did that?
I love flying. Can you do that again, please?
Put your seatbelt
down,
please.
I need a drink
coming.
Over here.
I mean, I think I've had such terrible turbulence. I've landed at O'Hare in a thunderstorm. I don't like it.
A pirate?
Oh, Jesus.
I've been on... But it's... Just tell yourself, people freak out when the plane starts moving. Just tell yourself it's like you're on a bumpy road in a car.
Yeah.
Talk to your brain. Talk to yourself.
Tell yourself that you don't need the B vitamin, okay? It doesn't work.
I still want it. I love flying. I love it. And I'm the guy that brings everything on the plane because I'm afraid that I'm going to run out of water and food.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
I just close my eyes the whole time.
Oh, God, no. I can't sleep.
I do bring
a
book and I try to watch a movie. Here's the thing. It's the takeoff and landing I hate. When I'm in the air, I'm okay. Usually, unless it's really a lot of turbulence.
Are you kicking a few back on a trip?
Well, I haven't been able to lately because they haven't been serving drinks.
But now they are.
Yeah, they are, and maybe.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. I'm doing a trip with some girlfriends, so yeah.
Hey, my girlfriends. Yeah, we're doing it. A pilot shared the worst times to fly for nervous travelers and where to sit.
Oh, okay, this is good.
Being afraid of flying is one of the most common phobias. 1 in 10 people are afraid to fly because of turbulence, the landings, the takeoffs, claustrophobia.
We're flying through the air. I mean, I look out the window. I'm like, what are we doing?
A pilot has some advice. Jerry Johnson, who is an airline pilot from L.A., has revealed the worst time of day to fly. When do you think it is?
Oh, whenever my flight is in 2 weeks. What, 10 a.m.?
If you're a nervous flyer, book a morning flight. The heating of the ground later causes bumpier air, and it's much more likely to storm in the afternoon.
Perfect.
Another tip, Judy. Passengers should sit in the back if they always feel cold.
I don't feel cold. I feel scared.
The general flow of air in any airplane is from front to back. I'm always hot. Every airplane is just so hot to me.
Well, at first I'm cold, then I'm hot, then I'm cold, then I'm, yeah, it's a disaster.
If I sit down at my seat, I take all three fans and I turn them towards me and turn them on and see if the other people will notice.
And then you take the armrest too.
Planes are generally, no, I'm a good armrest guy.
Are you?
Yeah.
Well, what's the rule?
The rule is right arm if you're sitting on the left side of the plane and left arm if you're on the right side of the plane.
Really?
Yeah.
I totally asked that as a joke. I did not know there was a rule.
That I thought was a general rule.
I do both.
If you're in the middle seat, you can
and
do whatever
I,
you
they
want.
If look at me, I look at them back like, what?
Or people are saying, no, you got to lean. If you're in the middle seat, you can have both. And the other two people lean to the other side, the opposite side.
And okay? Can you put your chair back?
Can you,
when did that stop?
I don't know. People get so upset. What are you doing? Well, that's why it's there. I need to just kind of stretch a little bit.
And the guy in front of me did it. If he does it, I feel like I can do it.
But it barely moves now on the new planes. They barely move.
All right. What are some other tips about
for a smooth ride? Judy, here you go. This is for you. The bumpiest place is in the back.
All right, so you just told me to sit in back to stay cool.
If you want to stay cool. If you want a bumpy ride, you should sit in the middle.
Okay, perfect.
So a plane is like a seesaw, according to this pilot. If you're in the middle, you don't move as much.
All right.
Yeah.
Where do I sit so I don't die? That's what I always ask myself. I go right just for jump right to that. Where will I be able to survive?
They say in the back of the plane.
Again, the back? Really?
Yeah, the back, yeah. By the way, if you're buying airline tickets right now, number one, the cheapest are always in the back. So we're always in the back of the plane.
Yeah.
And number two, airline flights are through the roof.
Yeah, I was hearing $1,500.
I go to Vegas every year with a group of guys. I'm the last guy to buy my ticket. I mean, 8 guys have bought their tickets. I'm number 9.
To go when?
To go in mid-May.
Okay, so you've got time.
$850 round trip.
$850
to Vegas.
You might need to bundle that up through Expedia
or
something.
You gotta go. You can drive to Moline. It's only 3 1/4. It's like, what? Drive to Moline? What is that, 3 hours from here?
You know what? Well, I don't know. Is it worth $600? Maybe.
Flying out of the Quad Cities, head to Vegas.
Oh, my gosh. Well, the good thing is the hotels are so cheap in Vegas, right? Hopefully, still.
No, nothing's cheap right now.
Really?
Yeah.
Do they still do free drinks in the casinos?
Of course.
Okay.
Yeah. Gamble, drink it up.
Well, you know that's going to end soon.
The free drinks?
Yeah.
God, I hope not. I always tip a 20 right away. I go, come back every 4 minutes. I mean it.
Come back every 4 minutes?
Every 4 minutes. Yes.
I just put you in Vegas now. If they come back with a tray, they've got an IV on it, a shot, and then your drink.
If people missed it earlier, for people just tuning in, I have gone to Vegas, and I have had the IV to help the hangover.
Do they just have that at the casinos?
Yes.
Well, the IV's just hanging,
well,
and you go up, you sit down, and you...
They actually have... You're going to think I'm crazy. They have people that will actually
come to
your hotel room and give you an IV.
Oh, I bet they do. Is that what they do? They give you an IV? Come on.
I'm sure it's been certified. Or they could do it at the pool, too. I think I did one at the pool.
If they're sending some up to your room with an IV, I mean, come on. Were you born yesterday?
The thing is, this all seems so normal, and now that we're having this conversation out loud this morning, it does seem a little weird.
It only seemed normal because you were drunk. Now you're sober, you're like, what?
I love the fact that they've come to the room. Has anybody checked the certification on this? What's in that bag? They claim it's
vodka. And why are you dressed like that? Well, you did order me up, didn't you? Jeez Louise. So now you got to go pay $800 for Vegas.
Yes. Biggest pet peeves on an airplane. 312-591-8900. I want everybody to think about their biggest pet peeve when you fly. Okay?
I got a list.
What's your biggest pet peeve on a plane? Biggest pet peeve on a plane.
It's got to be getting off the plane. The disembarking.
Oh, my gosh. I love the people that pop up right away. Like, they're going to run out the door.
Yeah, and then there's, you know, it's ridiculous. Then they're standing in front of my row, and I'm like, I'm going to get up in front of you. And I'm going to let everyone else come out before I leave. Yeah, it's stupid.
Do you get anxiety when you have to think about grabbing your carry-on luggage?
Oh my
God. I'm going to slow up the line. Oh, yeah. My God, I got to get my bag out of there.
Well, some of these people are crazy. You know, obviously, the business travelers. Go sit in the business section and check your bags because they look at you like, what are you doing? Grab it and go.
I will only carry on. I will not check luggage. Because you're packing too much.
Mm-hmm.
We all overpack. Don't do it.
And I don't want to wait for my luggage. And sometimes they lose it. And
I don't have time for that.
And also those people, that's another pet peeve. The people who, they're sitting in row 90.
Mm-hmm.
And as they're going through the plane at row 17, they decide to put their luggage there. Why?
I do it all the time.
What? Why?
Because you can grab and go.
You can grab and go and back.
No one's going to question it. You just act like you know what you're doing and keep walking.
But you're taking up our space in row 17.
I always do. I'm that guy. You can blame me. I am that guy.
Silas can take your luggage out and kick
biggest
it down the aisle.
Biggest pet peeve on a flight. Let's go to Sylvia in Michigan City. Sylvia, what's your biggest pet peeve?
Well, I'm sorry, but it's from the previous part of the airplane question. And I recently moved to Indiana, but when I lived in Chicago and I would fly more often, I would ask for seat 13 because nobody wanted it, and I would get all three seats to myself.
Great idea.
Right, and that was where the delineation was between smoking and non-smoking when it was that way.
Oh, my gosh. Wow.
I had all the seats, and it was wonderful because it was mine, as if that seat was the only one that was going to get flown out of the sky.
You got your tickets in row 13 because people think that's an unlucky number. So right, it was always empty.
Right. How could that seat blow up and the rest keep growing?
I love how everyone thinks.
I know, right?
And I love the smoking, non-smoking section on an airplane. So you have 50 people smoking away Marlboros in the back of the plane.
Behind row 13.
And it stops exactly between 12 and 13.
I love it. Thanks, Sylvia. Have a great day.
You're welcome. Bye now.
All right.
Is there still a row 13?
Yeah, I'm sure.
Oh, all right. I'm going to get that.
100%. Let's go to Rob in Evergreen Park. Rob, biggest pet peeve on a flight?
I hate it when like the largest person gets up really quickly, gets their backpack on and their luggage, like they're a paratrooper ready to jump. Then I got to stare at their ass for like 10 minutes. And it's like, okay, dude, you know, it's just way too fast.
Oh, I forgot about that part. You're right.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Thank you, buddy. That is so funny and so true, too.
Yeah.
Why do people pop up right away? Do they want to stretch? They feel like they're going to cut the line and hit the front?
As I recall, because I used to take the Metro a lot more than flying, that used to happen on the Metro. There's a system. It's like a law, a Metro law, that everyone knows that you can't, you got same thing as in the plane. You get up and that person in front of you gets to go first. Even if you get up to that and they're still sitting, you got to wait and let them go off first.
Really?
Yeah.
I love when you're on a flight and people say, if you have a connecting flight, please let the connectors go to the front of the line. That never happens. I mean,
never.
You're thinking, I'm not going to
let these people. Too many douchebags on a flight. Too many douchebags. Just like, they're the most important people.
Biggest
and
pet
putting
peeves.
Their, and putting their suitcase in row 17.
Biggest pet peeves. Parents without a control kids who don't attempt to relax their kids. Because the parents just don't care. They're not paying attention. How about the mad farter? There's always that guy.
Oh, God.
That's just letting it rip on the flight. Pet peeves. Flossing teeth.
Come on.
I swear to God, I've seen that. That is on this list. How about people that are doing stuff with their nails? They're painting their nails. They're cutting their nails. Some people cut their toenails. There's always a story.
How do you even do it? There's not enough room anymore. How are you even bending over to cut your toenails?
Number five may apply to Judy and my wife, Sarah. Pet peeves on an airplane. Loud talkers. Loud talkers. Let's use your inside airline voice. Loud talkers.
All right. So... are you insinuating that I talk loud?
Listening to music that is very, very loud.
That's not allowed.
How about the guy that brings the portable speaker and plays the speaker?
What?
That's happened on a flight to Vegas. Some guy brought it and he's playing the music. It's like, what's going on over there?
You can't do that.
Watching videos without headphones. Have you seen that with people with their iPads? And this is number one on the list. This is my number one pet peeve. People coughing or sneezing and they're not covering their mouth. Think about the day and age that we're in right now. People coughing. Do you freak out when you're walking on a plane and all of a sudden someone starts coughing and you're thinking, oh my God.
Well, everyone stops and looks at them. I mean, these days, you're lucky they don't drag you off the plane and throw you on the tarmac. It's like, do you have COVID?
If you're in an elevator or a crowded room or on an airplane and you sneeze, if you feel a sneeze coming, you're like praying to the heavens. Oh, my God. Hold it in. Hold your mouth. Yeah, right? Hold your breath. Don't do whatever you do. Do not sneeze.
Yeah, what happened to us? I told you earlier I had a little bit of a runny nose. You should have seen your face. First of all, you took a giant step back. You took a giant step back.
Because that's it
and
now.
And you said the words out of your mouth. Do you have COVID? Do you have a brain? No.
I know two people that got it last week, and it's a cold. It's a runny nose, and you're tired.
And they have COVID?
Yeah. Well, ooh, they had it. Now it's gone. Isn't that what happens? You have it for 2 days now.
Or you
it used to be.
You have it, but you don't know, and then it's not there. It's not real.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah. Where we've come from. I mean,
We're so tired. We can't go back. It just is what it is.
Are you going to get the booster?
Yeah.
Okay.
Because I think my doctor will recommend it. I don't know. My doctor's canceled my appointment the last four times, so it's been almost a year.
I mean, I don't know what's going on here. We talk about...
they don't have any coins.
Coins are in short supply.
Apparently, doctors are too.
I mean, you know, the war in Ukraine, they're talking about bread prices going up because that's the breadbasket of Europe.
The wheat.
I mean, gas prices are through the roof. I mean, we're at $4.89 right now. And I swear to you, I tried to get into my doctor. My next appointment is the end of June.
Yeah.
I go, how about you call me and tell me when you have an appointment open? Someone's going to cancel. It's going to happen.
Well, I don't know. My doctor's not. She just left.
What do you mean?
She's like left. On a permanent leave of absence.
I've had enough.
Well, that's the thing. We think doctors aren't like real people. They're like everyone else. Maybe she went to work on the, you know, a princess cruise. I don't know. Maybe she just changed her whole life.
Well,
but she's just gone. And so they keep canceling my appointment. They keep giving me a different I don't know.
I know we joke, but we've talked to healthcare workers and they're stressed out. They're just done with it. I mean, besides COVID, people are looking at their bodies like, I am unhealthy. I got to go see the doctor. I got to get in for my physical. We got to get this.
Well, we put it all off, right?
Yeah.
I mean, we haven't gone in.
Right.
I did.
Oh my God, this is old people talk right now. High gas prices in our bodies.
Oh, my knees hurt. Oh, my hip. You know what? I woke up this morning and I could barely get out of bed.
I got this hip thing, my right butt cheek. Every time I get out of bed, I got to stretch it. Yeah.
Let me stop getting that B.
Oh, it's rough.
Maybe
stuff.
You do need that B vitamin shot.
Let's go to Darren in Peoria. Darren, what's happening, man?
Hey, were you in Peoria?
I grew up in Peoria. Absolutely, I was in Peoria. I was in Peoria 2 weeks ago.
Well, you used to be on like KZ93, weren't you?
When I was in college, I was at a rock station called Rock 106. Yeah, I was Pete on the Street. I was the producer on the morning show.
You're Mac Attack.
The who?
You did the Mac Attack, didn't you?
I did. Yeah, that was me.
Yeah, because I used to listen to you when I was baking bagels.
I love it. You know what? Let's all think back to our days in college back in 1989. That's great. Darren, are you calling from Peoria?
Yeah, I'm calling. Well, we listen to you guys normally every day. I mean,
that's great.
On my way back from running mail, I run mail
and then in the morning. So.
What street are you on in P-Town right now?
I'm in Creve Coeur, but I normally I'm over by Menards on Allen Road.
What is the what's the festival they have in Creve Coeur every year? They have an outdoor festival.
Creve Coeur Rendezvous, isn't it?
It's unbelievable. People from Chicago go down there.
Where's Creve Coeur?
Creve Coeur is right outside of Peoria. Oh,
okay.
It's a stone's throw. It's like Chicago and Park Ridge.
Okay.
Same thing.
It's where they stopped, and I think they stopped the Nina Pinto and Santa Maria here, and then kind of explored this side of the river.
Oh, wow. Huh. Look at that. You're getting some history, Judy.
Yeah, he's
I know that they, and that's why Creve Coeur is I believe, isn't it, that those were Indian tribes?
And the people are like, I'm getting a little education on Creve Coeur right off 24. Yeah. Thank you, Darren. Have a great day, brother.
Yeah, you too. I was like a time warp when I heard you talking.
Yep. Thanks, buddy. All right. Creve Coeur, they have this huge concert every year. I want to say Kid Rock played a few years ago.
Wow.
I mean, it's humongous. Are you a concert person?
Not really. I've gone to concerts, but yeah, I'm not a big music person.
What do you mean you're not
person? I guess my kids are always reminding me, you never listen to music. I'm like, I don't.
What's your?
I read
your Spotify playlist.
I don't have that.
What do you mean you don't have?
I don't have that.
How do you play tunes at your house when people come over?
I put the MTV on the TV.
What channel?
What
is
do you think
MTV
I do? Again? I ask one of my kids to do it. What I don't have any music on my phone, but I don't. I don't listen.
Daryl Hall and Todd the God playing tonight at the Chicago Auditorium, which is at Congress in South Michigan. Have you been to that venue yet?
No.
It's been revitalized. I saw Eddie Vedder there last month. First of all, Eddie Vedder solo is off the charts fantastic. He's got the greatest band. I love Pearl Jam, but Eddie Vedder, seeing him live solo, so good. I was so impressed. Mm. But the Chicago theaters and Chicago Auditorium is a nice little secret. Yeah.
Yeah.
And they're getting some great shows.
That's awesome. So you're going to go see Hall & Oates?
It's Daryl Hall solo with Todd Rundgren as the opener.
Wow. Okay.
I saw Todd the God. I'm going to every concert, by the way. After COVID,
obviously.
I'm like, I'm going to everything. Yeah. I saw Todd the God. When was he here? A month and a half ago at the House of Blues. Now he's back. He loves this city. Rundgren's great in concert, too. He's a lot of fun. Yeah.
Interesting.
Lollapalooza? You don't care?
No.
Not at all?
I mean, I went and saw The Who at the United Center.
Well, that's fantastic.
I know. Actually, they were really good. So for me, it was like they were just, it was 40 years ago. I'm like, oh, yeah, they're all there. They all sounded great.
Well, here's the problem.
My middle son's named after, Townsend, Pete Townsend.
You're kidding.
No.
Wow.
I used to tell people it was a family name because I was embarrassed. And now I'm like, oh, it's kind of cool. You're named after Pete Townsend.
It's like things change.
Yeah.
The problem with these older venues like the Auditorium, the Chicago Auditorium, and the Vic Theater and the Aragon, if you're a guy and you're drinking beer, you have to run down two flights of stairs because the bathrooms are in the basement.
Oh.
That's the biggest problem.
You get to see how hard it is to be a girl anywhere.
Gosh, I went and saw Pat McGann, very funny comedian, at the Vic Theater. And the line for the guy's bathroom, it's like, really?
Oh, my gosh, yeah. That's how it is every time we go anywhere.
I just don't get it.
Mm-hmm.
Some great concerts coming to town this summer. The Dead & Company, Wrigley Field. Judy.
Okay.
Need to go see a show at Wrigley.
Hello. I saw Bruce Springsteen at Wrigley.
I was there both nights. It poured down rain the second night.
The Foo Fighters.
I was there.
Okay. Here's what happens. People ask me to go to concerts with them.
Because
like all the time.
Well, you're fun and you're a drinker.
I think it's because I'm fun. There it is. And so that's the only time I go. I don't think I've ever bought a concert ticket ever.
Zac Brown Band. Great concert. You want to talk about a party? Zac Brown Band. Coming to Wrigley Field.
Wrigley's a great venue for a concert.
Here's a concert for you. And coming up, we're going to talk to the former CIA agent and Congressman Will Hurd. But Weird Al is playing Chicago Symphony Orchestra.
What?
I would love.
Those words don't belong together.
I would love to see that. With the symphony?
Yeah,
are you
that's
kidding
crazy.
Me? Weird Al and his song? Eat It?
I don't get it.
I mean, come on.
I don't get
it. That's July 5th. He's doing two nights, July 15th and 16th here in Chicago. Like I said, I will go to any concert now.
Now, do you like Ravinia?
It depends. If it's an artist that I love, I like to be in front of the stage. I like to see the artist. Yeah. Ravinia, it's an experience for people.
Unless you get those seats.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, and I saw the Pretenders at the Chicago Theater.
Chrissy Hyde, she was I love her. God.
Okay, now that I'm talking, I go to a lot of concerts.
You sure do.
Yeah,
I love her. The Ravinia experience? People just love it. They cherish it, where they sit down with their wine and cheese and the whole deal.
Wine and cheese, they now have their coffee table out there.
Yeah.
Chairs. I mean, it's like a living room, right? Rugs.
Right. Yeah.
I love it.
People are bringing out rugs for that?
Oh, yeah. It's crazy. You get a rug, you put your coffee table on top, you get your chairs around it. It's like you're in your living room. But you can't see, which I don't know if it's that big of a deal. It's a big deal for me. Oh, see, for me, I just want to hear the music. And there are speakers everywhere. I mean, the sound is really good.
Sounds perfect.
Yeah. I love Ravinia. I hate the idea of Ravinia. Last time I went, we were on a party bus. It was someone's birthday. I want to say it took us 4 hours to get there. No, we were idiots. It was a Friday. We left late.
During the summer.
Oh.
Come on. That's a rookie move. You grew up here.
But you know what? We were on a party bus. We didn't even realize
it. Oh, it doesn't matter.
But we realized it when we get off. We're like, it's 4 hours later. What happened? What happened to those 4 hours of my life?
So it was a good time.
It was really good.
I like that. Our next guest is a former U.S. congressman out of Texas, worked for the CIA, which we're going to dig into, has a new book out entitled American Reboot. It is Will Hurd. Thank you for holding, sir. How are you?
Fantastic. Thanks for having me on.
I want to start with your CIA brain first. Does the CIA know what's going on inside the Kremlin? And tell us what's going on with the CIA inside Ukraine.
Sure. So trying to understand the plans and intentions of Vladimir Putin is really hard. He has a very small circle around him. But understanding that circle that is around him, the CIA and the rest of our intelligence organizations have a good insight. When it comes to what's happening on the ground in Ukraine, I think one of the reasons that the Ukrainians have been able to push the Russians back and have surprised a lot of people is that they're getting really good battleground intelligence, not only from the U.S., but from the rest of our Western allies. The scary thing is, though, is that Vladimir Putin, his ability to level death and destruction and to continue to do that in Ukraine hasn't been diminished. What he's doing to Mariupol right now, he can do to other cities. And that's why I think we need to be doubling down and giving the Ukrainians everything that they need in order to fight this. You know, I have a simple, I've been associated with the national security space for over two decades. I have a simple philosophy. Your friends should love you and your enemies should fear you.
Yeah.
And when President Zelensky is saying we need to do more, when Vladimir Putin is not afraid to do certain things, he's not afraid of a response, that's not a good place to be.
When you talk about intelligence, like how do we get our intelligence right now, say, from Russia? Are we talking spies?
Yeah, it's a mix, right? So I was involved in human intelligence. My job was to recruit spies and steal secrets. And so, you know, most of my time was in South Asia. I did 2 years in India, 2 years in Pakistan. I was in Afghanistan for a year and a half, where I managed all of our undercover operations. And, you know, I get into some of the details of spycraft in the book, in my book. But we also have signals intelligence. You know, that's being able to you know, understand what people are doing over radios, on their phones, digitally. You have imagery intelligence. But the CIA is the collectors of a last resort. If you can't get a piece of information any other way, that's when you call in the CIA, because getting it from humans is the hardest. It's the most expensive kind of intelligence.
Right.
And, you know, I always tell people if they knew how few people are involved in this, they'd be surprised with our ability to punch way above our weight.
You were talking about Putin earlier. I don't believe anything Russia says or does. They say they're pulling out of Kyiv to honor peace talks. What's your thought when you heard that?
I think you're right. Don't believe anything that they're saying. If his lips are moving, that means he's lying. We've seen this before. Back in, I think it was 2017, when the Russians were deep into Syria. One day they said, we're leaving Syria. And you saw all these planes leaving a military base. And for 24 hours, the rest of the world was like, oh, my God, Russians are leaving Syria. No, they were just replacing people. information operations is something that the Russians have been perfecting for 40 years. And so this is part of how they do battle. So you can't believe anything that they said. And that's why we're going to have to make sure that President Zelensky and the Ukrainians are able to keep up this fight.
Are you confident that the U.S. knows what is happening in Russia? What, you know, like their intelligence is good enough that they understand what could be coming?
Well, understanding trends and where things are going, yes. You know, you have a lot of activity. You're sharing information with our allies. But being able to say tomorrow Vladimir Putin is going to do X, that's a really difficult challenge. The press has been talking about how he's separated from his advisors. He's done that on purpose. They haven't separated from him. He has separated himself from them. There's probably only about four people in Russia that he gives, you know, that he cares about and gets information from. One of them is the head of the FSB. This is the organization that grew out of the old KGB, their spy organization. And so it's tricky, you know. This is why international affairs, why global affairs is hard, because you're always operating on imperfect information. And that's what, you know, trying to predict second, third, and fourth order of effects is difficult. That's why I always start with what is the first principle. And the first principle when it comes to Ukraine is prevent the massacre of innocent people. And we can play a role in that. We should be ultimately doing more. And these are important issues. That this is not just going to be a problem right now. In an interconnected world, we have to be ready. We have to have a bigger posse to deal with these problems, because foreign affairs are not foreign. It impacts all of us. And these are some of the topics I was glad to be able to tell stories about from my experience in the CIA and in the book.
Well, one of the problems is Putin's crazy. And it's very hard to negotiate or deal with a crazy man. I mean, Biden was in Poland. Russia bombs Lviv. That's a message that Putin is sending, that he'll do anything.
For sure. And you know, I would say I would push back a little bit on the adjective. Vladimir Putin knows exactly what he is doing. And he is maniacal. He doesn't care. He doesn't care about life. The only thing he cares about is staying in power and then reestablishing the territorial integrity of the old USSR. And he will stop at nothing in order to do that.
Right.
That's actually more terrifying than he's crazy.
Yeah.
Right?
100%. Well, no, it looked 100%, because he's calculating, he knows what he's doing, and he's doing it anyways. He knows that they have bombed hospitals and killed children and women. He doesn't care.
He's okay with that.
Yeah, he's okay with that. And so he, and it's not like he didn't know that that was going to happen.
The name of the book is called American Reboot. Former Congressman, ex-CIA officer Will Hurd. One last thing before you go. My cousin is Darren LaHood, and I asked Darren if he wanted to relay a message to you. Darren LaHood, of course, out of Central Illinois. He sent this message. He said, and I quote, "I used to school him on the house basketball court. He has no game." Is that true?
Well, look, I will say this. Darren does a great pick and roll. So when we're on the same team, we were schooling those other folks. And one thing, look, for everybody in Chicago, I'm going to be at the Chicago Council of Global Affairs next Friday, a week from today, 4 p.m. at Prudential Plaza, talking more about this. So come out if you can.
I really enjoy your talks, and maybe we can get you to stop by. I love it. Thank you, Congressman.
Thank you.
Thank you.
He is just a smart guy, and I just want to paint a picture for people. The reason that we're so concerned about Ukraine is you're seeing it now. Look what's going on with gas prices. Wheat's going to be going up. They call Ukraine the breadbasket of Europe, and I want to say it's like 30% of the wheat to the world comes from there. So this is all going to affect us. It's coming.
Yeah. Well, like the congressman said, it's not just happening there. It's happening here, too.
Yeah. But how do you deal with a crazy guy like this? I don't know.
He's so deliberate. He's just doesn't care. Yeah, that's the scariest thing.
I hope that they can negotiate this. I don't know if it's going to happen, but I hope they can. When I say shed aquarium, we all immediately smile. How much do we love the Shed?
One of the happiest places on earth.
I love it so much. I go there every single year, even though my son is 16. We love it. His friends love it. Everybody loves it. And they serve beer. Throwing it out there, guys.
I don't know what else you could ask for.
I mean, they serve beer at the Shed.
And they have an unbelievable view. On their outdoor patio?
That is one of the best kept secrets in Chicago. You can grab a beer and walk out there and it's
sit at a table.
Amazing. It's
gorgeous. Amazing. Absolutely gorgeous.
The Shed is celebrating its second year of immersion, an annual event that brings leading voices in the climate movement to Chicago. And Dr. Sylvia Earle, who is a marine biologist, she'll be part of an all-woman panel discussion about optimism and the future of marine conservation. And Dr. Sylvia joins us now. Thank you for joining us. How are you?
Doing fine. Glad to be on board.
Now, doctor, is this about climate change, ultimately about climate change?
It's about the ocean that governs climate and safeguards most of life on Earth, including ours.
So, but what I like about this is the word optimism. Should we be optimistic?
Well, think of the alternative. If you think that there's no hope, it's a self-fulfilling prophecy. There's plenty of reason for despair, but there are many things we can do to go from decline to recovery. And what this is all about is let's get on with it. Let's give back to the natural systems, ocean systems, land, freshwater, you know, nature that has given us life. Now we have to give back.
Well, how do we do that? We have a big body of water right behind us here in downtown Chicago. How do we do that?
Well, it should be pretty obvious that what we're putting into the waters of the world, fresh waters and the ocean, and what we're taking out, both have been done in excess to the point where the ocean and rivers and streams and the whole world is in a state of decline, and it does affect the very climate that surrounds everything, of course.
Right.
So by reversing those actions, be careful with what you do with your trash, for heaven's sakes, and be mindful of what we're taking out of the ocean. We've gone way overboard and taking too much too fast, and by protecting large areas where we just, like, parks on the land, but even more overarching policies that protect not just ocean life and life on the land, natural systems, but the consequences are back to us, a world that works in our favor.
I feel like I've seen images of like these just miles and miles of a garbage dump in the ocean. Like in the middle of the ocean.
Right. Yeah, the plastic.
The plastic.
Yes.
Yeah,
you always see those. Yeah.
Yeah.
See those images.
Yeah. How do we get past that?
Part, much of the debris in the ocean now comes from high-tech industrial fishing. It's not like the good old days when fishermen would go out and catch wild animals from the sea or from lakes and rivers and streams to feed themselves, their families, their communities. Now, it's a big industrial business that is taking millions of tons of wild animals out of the ocean and shipping them off to distant markets, everywhere from krill taken from Antarctic waters to creatures we didn't have names for just a few years ago that are now in our supermarkets. And it's stripping the very backbone of the systems out of the ocean that maintain the integrity of systems that shape climate, weather.
It's true.
Chemistry.
It is.
Yeah.
I mean, when you go out for sushi, you're doing it. I mean, think about it. It's true.
Ask not only where did it come from, but who is it?
Right.
Not just a little piece of meat that magically fell out of the sky. That's likely a creature that may be older than you or your grandparents that has made its way through a long and complicated carbon-heavy transit to get wherever you are. And we don't need that.
That's what you're eating on rice, Judy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I know. Are you telling me I can't have lobster anymore?
you can have delicious veggies. Oh,
all right.
Well, if people want tickets, they can go to shedaquarium.org. It happens on Tuesday at 5:30. You have a cocktail hour. This is what I love about this, Doctor. You do a cocktail hour, then you do the presentation for an hour, and then you have dinner. It's not a four-hour thing, which is great. And people can also log in online, and they can do this. Again, shedaquarium.org. And do you want to ask her about Duke in the Final Four?
Yeah, did I see that you got your doctorate at Duke?
I'm a Blue Devil.
Oh, are you going to be rooting for the Blue Devils, huh?
I root for the blue, all of it.
See, get it? See,
it's
water.
Good.
Yeah,
good.
Dr. Sylvia Earle. Thank you so much.
All right.
Okay. Again, shedaquarium.org.
Gold Conservation and Gold Blue Devils. They're the ones playing the Tar Heels, right?
Yes.
I'm sorry, those names, Blue Devil, Tar Heels.
What? What do you want?
I don't know. Bears, Cubs.
Yeah.
We have good names.
Are you sure?
No, not really.
Uh-huh.
How about turtles, whales?
By the way, if you're keeping track at home, I have Nova and Kansas on my bracket. I'm still alive in one pool because I had those two playing each other. But I did have Baylor winning the championship.
Mm.
I'm just hoping that I win some money for the family.
Right, because this is your annual salary, apparently. That's how you support your family every year.
Final Four, Duke playing North Carolina. I tried to explain to Judy, as a sports fan, this is going to be an unbelievable game tomorrow night.
Right, he tried to explain that, and then he ended with, but it's all about the numbers that come up because that's how I feed my family if I'm going to win the bets.
Nick, those weren't exactly words.
I think they were exactly.
It's more fun when you bet and have money on the game. So there's squares out there. I don't know my numbers until tomorrow morning.
Yeah. Wait, it's more fun. So
everything's fun when you bet money on it.
I thought it was like the biggest event of your life. The Final Four.
No, I love it. March Madness, man.
Yeah.
That's what it's all about.
Yeah, you love it for the gambling.
Look at, we have a marine biologist, Dr. Sylvia Earle,
that was a good line.
Yeah, it was.
She's all for the blue.
All for the blue. Shedaquarium.org. I want to recap the show. So we learned today that I go to Vegas, I'll do the IV, I get a vitamin B shot in my booty once a month.
Because there's a sign on the storefront window that says $10 only.
Judy and I take bathroom breaks together. A little uncomfortable.
Mm. And I came out first. I had to wait by the door.
I sweat a lot.
I think Pete took a bath. I don't know.
I sweat a lot. I wash my face.
In the bathroom during the show.
I just sweat. I can't help it. Okay.
You don't look very sweaty to me. Sweaty.
And you can't eat fish anymore.
I'm drawing a picture of a lobster right now because apparently
I didn't have the heart to tell Dr. Sylvia that my wife is from Wisconsin and I've done a Friday night fish fry forever. That's the thing. Mm-mm. Friday night fish fry.
Well, maybe the fish are okay because they stock them. You know, they stock the lakes. They don't.
Are you sure?
You're not messing with the ecosystem. A fish farm. Yeah. Lobsters, do they do that with lobsters? They have lobster farms?
Well, when I was a fisherman, back with George Clooney in that movie, Perfect Storm, let me tell you, I have no idea.
Was that about fishermen, Perfect Storm?
Do you like lobster?
I prefer crab legs, to tell you the truth, but I will. I make lobster. By the way,
too much work.
I make lobster. I made lobster last time in that contraption I bought, the air fryer. Lobster. It was delicious.
In the shell and the whole deal?
Well, yeah, you got to crack the shell and put the butter on and the lemon and a lot more butter.
I was shamed earlier because I don't have an air fryer. And what was the other thing?
Instapot,
which I still, you guys explained it to me, but you didn't explain it.
I would bypass the Instapot and go right to the air fryer.
What is it? What is the Instapot?
It's magic. It's a magic pot that cooks really well. You don't have to use your stove or your microwave anymore. They just sit there now. And you just look at it once in a while.
I don't get it.
I don't really use my microwave that much when I think about it.
Because you have the fish fryer.
Because I don't cook that.
What's it called? Air fryer. Thank you. Not
fish
the fish fryer. I'm writing it down.
That's a basket I dump in the oil.
This is the problem. People can't explain the air fryer to me. Oh, my God. It's the greatest thing. You're going to use it for everything. Well, what are you making it? Well, French fries and fish. I'm like, what? What do you mean?
It's basically a miniature convection oven, isn't it? It's got like a fan in it.
Right, yeah. And the idea is it's air, so it's not fried. Right. The food.
No grease.
It sounds. Oil. It
Okay, I don't
fried,
eat fried food. I mean, you
right,
look at me and say...
If you had an air fryer, you would never eat fried food.
Okay.
Because it's air fried.
Throw a pizza puff in there, some french fries, you get lunch.
Really? Mm-hmm. I don't know. You're still not convincing me.
Yeah.
Judy's shaming me because I gave up fries for Lent.
I shouldn't bring this up. Yeah, mm-hmm. I made a grilled cheese. It took really long, I will say. In a pan, it would have been like 4 minutes.
Why?
In an air fryer, it was like 10 minutes.
Does it toast bread, too?
Yes. It's worth trying to tell you.
It just seems
it
so
cooks
weird.
It cooks it like it's fried, but it's not fried.
Yeah, but just put it in a pan.
I can't make it clearer.
It doesn't make any sense to me.
It does sound stupid. I don't know why. It's just still
you're having that moment. You're having that moment where I realize that I'm weird because I get an IV and a vitamin B shot. You're having that moment right now with the air fryer. Now I get it. Congratulations to two businesses. Number one, Procter & Gamble. They raised a stink on Chinese social media after releasing a controversial advertisement that claimed women's feet smell 5 times worse than men's, and they have since apologized.
No one believes that.
Well,
what?
I mean,
no, boys have stinky feet.
Yeah, but women wear the tight shoes.
Nobody wears tight shoes. What, we want our feet to look smaller?
Socks. Ugh.
No, I wear my size. Yeah.
Okay. I like
they make women's shoes like more narrow and they tighter fitting for
it
some reason.
It seems like women's shoes are always tight and they're always uncomfortable, especially when you're at a function. Well, I can't really walk in these shoes. Well, why are you wearing them?
Yeah,
well, they look great with this dress. Okay. So you can't walk.
I can guarantee you that lady in Oak Park who's getting the shoe deliveries.
Yes.
Even though they're not her size, she's still shoving her foot in.
She's trying on every single pair.
It doesn't matter that they're not their size.
And Pabst Blue Ribbon. Do you drink Pabst? You're a drinker.
I like Pabst.
Congratulations to Pabst Blue Ribbon. They opened a cannabis-focused beverage factory in California not too long ago. They have now tripled their capacity for THC-infused drinks.
Well, you knew that was coming.
They are making a 10-milligram high seltzer with 10 milligrams of THC in the seltzer.
Okay, wait. So it's liquor with the THC? I mean, that seems a little redundant.
It's seltzer with the pot.
Okay, so there's no actual liquor in there. Because if you had liquor along with the pot, that's a twofer.
It's not. You're right. It is a twofer.
I don't know that we need all
it.
That in one drink.
Why not try it? I'll try anything.
I mean, one of those and...
Has anybody tried any of these? I know Miranda likes the hard seltzer. This is a high seltzer.
Oh, my God.
Which they call
hilarious.
It.
And leave it up to Pabst.
Pabst. They also produce Not Your Father's Cannabis-Infused Root Beer.
That doesn't sound too bad.
They put the THC in the root beer and the St. Ides cannabis product line, which includes their 100-milligram infused 4-ounce shots.
What?
100 milligrams.
That's a lot, Miranda, right? I mean, 100 sounds like a lot. Oh, she's giving me the yes. She's giving me the thumbs up sign.
How much? Can someone dumb it down for me? How many milligrams of pot are in a gummy if someone eats a gummy? You can get
5 milligrams.
10 milligrams.
10's around the average, but you can get like 50 milligrams.
I love that all our people behind the scenes suddenly are paying attention to the show and they can't wait to answer. Oh my God, 10 milligrams. You don't know that? 10
There's
milligrams.
Normally 100 milligrams in each package at the dispensary, so you get every gummy has 10, but there are some with 50.
How about a 4-ounce shot that has 100 milligrams of THC?
Okay, that would be like eating the entire bag. She just said a whole bag of gummies.
Would you ever do that?
Absolutely. That sounds like a great Saturday night.
People will try anything.
I think I would... Not only pass out, but I might die.
And Miranda,
if I did 100 milligrams.
She's the seltzer person on the show. Mm-hmm. You love this concept.
Mm-hmm.
THC in the seltzer made by PBR, which is
The drink for me. It's perfect.
It is.
Okay, but have you guys thought about this? Like, so that's just going to be a seltzer drink. Can you just drink that at work during the day? Is that going to be okay? Because if there's no liquor in it and just THC...
You know what? There is.
Don't you drink at work now, though, Judy?
No, hold on a second. There's people.
You work in the newsroom.
There's people that I quit smoking, but I'm still vaping. What's in the vape? They're vaping at work, so you know what's going on.
Yeah.
There's a little something, so why not pull out the high seltzer?
Yeah, no, I'm not saying I have a problem with it. There's just going to be one more set of rules now for that.
But do you want someone, you know, with the THC at work during the day?
Well, I don't want him operating a forklift. That's for sure. Here, I think it might help.
Why is that guy going around in circles?
I don't want him being an Uber driver.
Understand
but
it. It's just the weirdest thing.
Or he's just sitting there laughing. There you go. It is a drug, people. I've got to remind you of that.
It is a drug, Miranda, and you're grounded. Okay. I do want to mention, I do a show here on WLS Saturdays from 5 to 7. Tomorrow, we have Academy Award winner Chris Cooper. You remember him from The Bourne Identity, The Bourne Supremacy. He was in Seabiscuit. He was the creepy neighbor dad on American Beauty. Great character actor. He's going to join us. Jason Begay, who plays Sergeant Hank Voight on Chicago PD. Judy's not a fan of his voice, but she found out that it was a medical thing.
Catch him?
He's got the best voice. I absolutely love it. So that's tomorrow between 5 and 7. All right, that does it for us. Judy, I love you. Thank you for having me. Bruce, back on Monday. Enjoy your weekend.